This is PFW in progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on, leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then boomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Art Hard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not a Art Hard.
Alright, welcome to PFW in progress. It is Thursday, last show of the week. You always know when you get to this show that it's getting close. It's getting close. You can hear the drum beats. And they're coming from the Meadowlands.
And they happen one at a time. One beat. PFW, one beat.
And as the Patriots get closer, the drums get louder. And then we're going to invade the Meadowlands. We're going to make this our house. Our house.
It's funny because I heard Mark Sanchez say there's nothing wrong with 15-1.
Yeah, can you believe he said that?
No.
He's just an idiot.
He also thinks they're going to have 300 yards this week.
I don't know. Anyway, this is PFW in progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
It's like Lawrence Maroney saying, you know, 1,500 yards isn't out of the possibility.
Right.
Yes, it is.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. We have a line open, so if you want to get on it.
or the? We have the line open.
All right. Where's Eric, by the way?
He'll be by later.
I thought practice at 1:15.
I don't know with him, but he's doing a fine job.
He is?
I don't know. Maybe he's overwhelmed like me.
Are you?
Overwhelmed all week.
You've been overwhelmed?
Look, this whole multimedia thing.
Have you been overpowered?
No. Just TV shows all day on Tuesday.
It's getting crazy.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
All access. We got to shoot this and that. And then all of a sudden, it's like Thursday afternoon. You're like, when do we start the paper?
Well, this is what you always wanted. You wanted this exposure.
Well, no, I always wanted the money. I've said it nonstop.
Well,
I want money.
You can't get the money until you get the credibility. You're building your credibility.
It's taking a long frickin' time.
Well, like John Rook said, it took him 7 years for the people to say first down at the stadium. Sometimes things take time.
We got through it last week.
Yeah. Paul's here. Oh.
No, we'll get through it every week, but not as many breathers as there used to be.
What should I get for lunch today?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Where are you getting it from?
What are we getting
Randy.
From? Grande?
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
Write down large chicken.
What do you care what I'm getting?
Calzone.
I just wonder, are you going to get anything different?
Such as?
I don't know. Do they have ziti and meatballs?
Probably.
Oh, that's what I'll get. I'll get ziti and meat sauce unless they have meatballs.
You prefer balls to sauce?
I prefer...
I think one out of every 3 weeks, Andy, by the way.
Is balls produce the sauce.
And we might incorporate a little of that, you know, Freddie, into our new show, the Patriots Football Weekly television show.
What, lunch?
No. Part of the process of what we go through when we're, you know, putting the paper together.
Getting lunch.
He's got his hands on a lot of balls.
All right. He doesn't want to play.
To be fair, if they're going to do a day in the life of PFW, lunch needs to be in there.
Right. That's a part of the day.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
No, really. So they're putting the paper
Corey
together.
Corey Champagne would like to do maybe a feature. He was thinking Monday night game in December. I think the Jets again? Or Dolphins?
I know we play Dolphins, but it's an away game in December.
But he, one here,
Jets
Monday
are,
night
yeah,
game,
Jets are here, yeah.
He would like to shoot the overnight, what we do, what how we put out a paper and give people a behind-the-scenes look of what we go through to produce.
You know, that would be kind of cool. Like, I for one of those games where we come here at, like, 3:30 in the morning, get have, off the bus.
You know, you put the still shot up there, and you're like, you know, 2:07 a.m.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, you cackling like a hyena in your office.
Right. Paul taking his pants off.
Me walking around with no pants on.
Yeah, but see, now if we do something like that, people are going to think we're staging it.
But that's what we do.
I know, but they won't believe it.
Well, I'm sorry.
You know?
That's us.
All right.
What I normally mean. But
that would be kind of cool. I think his crew will hate him for making them do that.
I don't think it would be something that you want to take up like 8 minutes of time doing, but I think like a quick 3-minute segment.
Yeah.
Just to kind of show what the process is like post game.
I think it'd be
kind of cool.
What? Eric?
Screw him.
Should we get Eric?
You
got to
get him something.
Well, what does he usually get? A salad?
Turkey sandwich?
Get him a turkey
doesn't
sandwich.
He get the Italiano there or something like that? The turkey signature? Signature. Okay. Get him
the turkey sandwich.
Because he's already moping and crying and whining.
No, but back to what you're saying, I think you're right. It's no more than a 5-minute segment, but the people, Tory Champagne's crew was going to hate him for making them come in.
They hated him yesterday.
3 a.m.
Yeah, they weren't real happy yesterday.
Oh, really? They were upset?
Well, we got blown off by Algie Crumpler in the morning, so they basically had to sit around all day to wait to get a 10-minute interview in the afternoon.
I told them. Shooting on Tuesday is going to be tough.
Yesterday was Wednesday.
I told them. No, but like even me, I did my around the NFL on Michael Vick, and I go, you know, now Kevin Cobb's going to be the starter. Well, he's not the starter because he's still got a concussion.
But he's the starter.
I understand.
There's a difference between starting this week and the starter.
I can get away with it, but still, it would be nice to have that info.
Plus, and everybody will focus on your funny line.
Andy Reid said on Sunday that he was going to – it'll be till Friday.
Right. That's true.
So you're not done yet.
Okay.
Worst case scenario was when we had a trade post-shooting of Lawrence Maroney.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks
Paul
in a row.
That up.
2 weeks in a row we had a sort of never mind.
After a long time, TV exec told them, it happens. You can't do anything about it. It happens every 2 or 3 times.
Right.
It's happened 2 times in 2 weeks.
All right. WebRadioPatriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Guys.
Big news out of the locker room.
What do you got?
Julian Edelman's going to play, I think.
Oh, good.
And we think.
All smiles, all
talk.
Well,
I think Brady kind of hinted at that he kind of caught himself yesterday, and he said, well, if he plays.
Yeah, I would be stunned if he's not playing this week.
So that was my first hint that he was hopeful that Edelman would be.
And Patrick Chung, it would appear, was fined for a play on Sunday. We got in the locker room, and he was throwing a FedEx envelope and expressing some displeasure.
Really? Which one?
Well, not the one I thought, apparently, because I thought he deserved one for spearing in a late hit, which drew no flag.
And that may have been it. We kind of overheard him as he was reading it.
Yeah.
We thought we heard the word horse collar. I don't remember anything resembling a horse collar. I would have to go back and look. But he was involved in some plays that were on the edge.
There was one that was Rodney Harrison. It crossed the line. It was a late. He's kind of speared and also threw a little shiver. I also think Moss may have been fine because he got a FedEx that he threw away and tore up the letter that was inside of it.
And you know, let me tell
I wonder if it had something to do with his media obligations because he hasn't been really fulfilling anything, and then he talked about not doing anything.
The rest when he bragged about it, and that
gets
you in trouble.
Yeah, well, do you know what I'm saying? Said I haven't spoken. He said it. I haven't talked since the spring.
That
you know, and I wonder if that maybe had some because he didn't have anything physically in the game that I can recall.
Not that I know of.
You know, going back to Chung and what he might have been fined for. You know, you watch that Jets game and Ray Lewis. And he laid some vicious hits, but they were clean as clean could
be. The hit on Dustin Keller was as textbook a hit as you
can wish
see.
Guys would look at that and say, you can deliver the pain, and you don't have to do it with your forearm. You don't have to do it with your helmet. You can watch Ray Lewis, and that's how you do it. You know,
he's as explosive a player in terms of contact as there is.
Now, you need to do some other things off the field, but that's okay. That's part
what
of
those, Fred. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Well, if you're involved
the Fred Kirsch juice diet,
if you're involved in murder and and juicing,
I wasn't going to go there. But.
Oh, you were just going to call him a juicer?
The guy's bigger than he ever was. I'm telling you. He's in better shape than he was 2-3 years ago.
I'm just saying,
it looks like it.
15th year at that position to be playing like that.
It's incredible.
That ain't normal.
It's incredible.
Doc G was,
and you know what? I'm not.
Washington
I'm not blaming
area.
Him though
Doc
because
G.
I think they should all do it. I think it should be legal.
I really kind of feel the same way.
You know?
For the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, cops are allowed to have guns. NFL players are allowed to take steroids.
The stuff that they have to go through, you know, with, you know, physically, If they're under a doctor's supervision, let them do it.
But what if you're condoning what basically leads to 30% of NFL players getting cancer or whatever down the road?
I'm glad you thought this out.
Well, you know, things happen.
I did mention to Chung. I walked by him and I said, "Hey, did you get a bad FedEx?" And he kind of gave me a smirk of a smile and he said, "That's confidential." I said, "I'll take that as a yes." And I walked away, but I'm pretty sure that someone will ferret that information out.
Oh yeah, whatever you do, Paul, don't make him your guy.
He's not my guy.
Okay, good. Because actually, if he is, he'll be cut next week.
He's not my guy.
Kind of the opposite of Paul's guy.
Yeah.
Paul doesn't really care for him.
I was very impressed with his play on Sunday, but he's not my guy.
Did you see how many tackles he lost?
He lost seven tackles with coaching tabulations.
Which is so rare. Usually you gain seven. Mayo slid into the first spot, leads the team in tackles. I think he gained two, maybe?
I didn't look.
It's 11 and 9, I believe. Mayo is 11.
It's weird. I rarely look at the defensive stats at the end of a game.
Oh, I always do.
I always do, too.
I rarely do, unless I'm writing something specific about a player.
See, that's how the league is. It's just so biased towards offense. He's admitting he doesn't even look at defensive stats.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I rarely look at the individual offensive stats either, but most of them you kind of know.
What's he doing? I really?
I use my eyes to tell me who played well.
My eyes tell me at 54 yards.
I certainly, Patrick Chung was one of the guys I spotlighted after the game with B-Lo. So
I don't believe in stats.
I didn't know he had 16 tackles, but I didn't need that.
But
stat
it was
to
interesting that
he played well.
The coach's chart only had him with 9. Did you know that?
Are you freaking kidding me?
No, the coach's chart.
No.
What?
Just go on. Read an email.
I know you just said that, and I said it is interesting.
You asked us if we knew that when we just talked about it.
Yeah.
You didn't know we said it.
What's that?
Read an email. I'm done.
I'm done with you.
All right. So are we any...
Do you remember the part where Andy said usually you gain tackles? You don't lose them when the coaching tabulations come in? Did you remember when Andy said that?
Are we talking about defense?
You are a clown.
I hate you both, actually.
What did I do?
Well, you don't believe in stats, and he just ignores everything we say.
I didn't say anything about not believing in stats. I said after the game, right after the game, I don't usually look at the defensive stat page that closely. That's all. I don't believe in them.
Today's over-under that we're going to throw out there. How many games, and I'm saying 5, would it take for Paul to get into a fight if he sat behind Fireman Ed at the Meadowlands?
I'll take the under.
Let me tell you something. I couldn't go a quarter sitting behind that guy.
Way under.
Without getting in a fight.
So that's the over-under today.
Brady's...
Yeah?
Go ahead.
No, if you guys have something important, it was kind of an ex-patriot.
There's nothing that we're saying that's important.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I thought it was interesting, Josh McDaniel's comments on the Lawrence Maroney trade. He was big on the word expectation. If you're expecting 1,500 yards, you're probably not going to get it. And I think the inference there is in New England, where they selected him in the first round, the expectation was 1,500
yards. Well,
now yards.
Those have been reset.
Now he's there he's, to be
yeah.
a guy.
Yeah.
He's a fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick guy who's just looking to help out a position
right.
of need.
Right. They'll paint that out as it was the fans in Boston that were tough on him and stuff, but that won't be the case.
Well,
they're
not
looking.
Sure
well, I'm not saying
I'm not sure
saying
he was
that,
saying
Paul.
That. I think
no.
he was just saying.
I just saying he was drafted as a first rounder,
round.
Right? And now he's reborn.
First round running backs.
Now
are
he's
next.
Reborn as basically any, fifth round talent.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't mention anything about what McDaniel said. I'm just saying that's the way that'll be looked at. You know, all the kinder, gentler Rocky Mountain people were much more accepting of him than they were in Boston. I'm not saying anything about what McDaniel said.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure I go with that, though, in this case, because...
Well, it won't be accurate in this case, but that's how it's going to be perceived.
Yeah. I think...
They never gave him a chance to succeed because
I think
there,
he's not
high.
Coming there as a first-round pick. He's coming there as a guy we got for basically a fifth round, and that's where his expectations are at this point.
And he's filling
And that's
a
good
need.
For him, by the way.
You know, all hands on deck. Yeah. Lawrence Maroney helping out.
That's good for Lawrence Maroney. It's good for his mental...
It should be good.
Yeah.
I like him. I want him to have a little fun and... No. Maybe he will have more fun and not be thinking about the media and the fans all the time and dancing. And
I mentioned to Felger yesterday that I think he's a good guy.
Fred, did he drop a?
And Felger's a good guy.
And Felger says he's a putz.
Who?
Maroney.
Oh, everybody. Is.
Speaking
he's
of putzes, Felger.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
he hates
you could
everyone.
Talk to that guy and say that you didn't think he was a good guy, or you know.
I'll tell you who I
pleasant,
could talk to and not think he's a
fellow?
Good guy. Michael right. Felger.
Right. Well, going back to the Jets, since the Baltimore game and today, any change in your outlook for this game? anything happen? Mark Sanchez's comments we talked about, I don't know if we did it on air, about the 15-1 quip, but are you any less or more confident about the Patriots going into this game on Sunday?
No. Than I was Monday?
Yeah. No? Everything's the same? Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't think a lot's changed.
Nothing.
There's been some chatter a little bit. You know, Randy Moss, slouch will be there for 60 minutes, and Revis, you know, I called him a slouch at the time, all that.
But it's,
nothing
it's,
of any magnitude.
It is interesting. Sanchez is feeling the heat already
in New
York.
You know who he
is?
He's Lawrence Maroney of quarterbacks. I think he is inside. There's issues going on in his head.
Yeah.
What to say? I think the 300-yard 15-1 is false confidence if I ever saw it. He doesn't believe it.
You know,
he's
again,
a poo, not knee.
There's a bunch of things that have happened this offseason leading up to now that are now, when you add them all together, you come to the conclusion you just came at. Hard Knocks, okay? Trying to crack jokes and just never being funny, all of them falling flat. And then one of his teammates, I don't know which one, saying, you know, he's just a clown. Who was that? I forget who said it.
I don't. Somebody called Sanchez a clown?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He's a clown.
In a negative light?
No, like, being
for he's a funny. Funny. You know, he's always funny.
Yeah, but just fooling around, you know? But, you know, what should the quarterback be like that? You know, anyway, so then you add that. Then you add up this thing he just said.
15-1.
You know, hey, the sun came up. We knew it would. And what's so, you know, 15-1, it isn't so bad. Is that really what you want this guy saying after that kind
of
game?
But it's what he's going to say with a coach who.
But it's adding up to what you just said. He may not have it upstairs.
Oh, he doesn't. I knew that when the whole Matt Kavanaugh, you sit here and sulk.
Right.
You're the $40 million quarterback of one of the premier franchises in terms of market in the league. You're at the top of the pile. You can't look.
You need to be a leader.
It'd be like the president coming on. America should just stop sucking so much because we can't do anything.
When Zolak was the clown on this team, but he wasn't the top quarterback.
Right.
You know, you can't have your top quarterback being the guy who's always fooling around.
I agree.
You know?
Just like he can't have long hair. Whoops.
So.
Brady.
Well, there's nothing to do with that.
No, of course not. No, but I agree with you. I don't buy Mark Sanchez, and I'm losing faith that he'll be great. I never really thought he was physically gifted. Now I'm wondering if he's gamer gifted, like leader of men gifted.
I'm wondering about these USC quarterbacks in general. What is
soft
it?
Soft like Pete?
Well, you just have so much talent around you that, you know, it makes you look better. And, you know, they come out and they think it's going to translate to the NFL, and it just isn't.
Yeah.
You know?
But to me, it's all intangibles with him, because I don't think anyone ever thought he was the most physically gifted. But if he's not also the intangibles, then he's nothing.
Then he's nothing.
To me, it's all about.
And as we've seen in the NFL, being quarterback is so much more about mental than anything else. If you don't have it upstairs, doesn't matter. You can throw a nice looking ball downfield like Jeff George. You gotta have the head. You know.
I think he's soft. He's putty, broken, yolk.
Well, we'll see. You know. God,
but he's predicting 300 yards
praying.
This week.
To me, it's all about physical. I'm not sure he's. I'm not sure he's that good.
You don't think he is either.
I don't have any idea about all the other stuff you guys are talking about.
Well,
I don't think he's that physically gifted. He hasn't shown me that he can throw the ball at an NFL, you know, consistently. I've seen signs of it. I've seen glimpses here and there, but to have 20 starts and not a single 300-yard game. I mean, you would think you'd fall behind by 14 once, and they did it enough.
Good. If you're going to be good,
and
if
they did it enough, you know, Peyton Manning.
A jag.
Peyton Manning is rookie year. Everybody says he had a better year than Peyton Manning his rookie year. Bull. Peyton Manning was a far better quarterback.
Well, in the wins and loss column,
I don't care.
But you're talking,
you know,
stats.
Go back to, you know, the whole win based formula, maybe
now,
that you
now
make
he's
fun
dropping
of.
The Perillo win based formula.
But that's part of, you know, Peyton Manning threw a lot of interceptions. He was on a bad football team. They went 3-13. But you could see physically how good he could be.
Sure.
And you said to yourself, if he learns, now no one had any idea at the time the kind of Brady-like savant he turned out to be. No one knew that then. But you could see the physical stuff that he was doing as a rookie. I don't see that out of Sanchez. Mm-hmm. That to me, I don't. You guys might be 1,000% right about the intangibles. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You know, I don't have any problem with what he said yesterday. I don't know, have any idea about his intangibles.
I do. When you add it all up and...
If he can play, I don't have a problem with it. If he can't play,
Well,
I got to get a new guy. And no. I know Kellen Clemens ain't that guy.
And somebody
and the other,
else,
and the other guy they brought in is 40, so he isn't the guy.
Somebody else mentioned, I forget where. I apologize for that. You know, when you are trying to lead, you never say there's plenty of blame to pass around. You take the blame, especially when it was your fault. You know. For the most part.
He certainly doesn't want to be saying that because that divide between the offense
that,
and defense
see,
will want, grow larger.
He said there's plenty of blame
if
to go
If you wanted
around.
To put blame pie out there for the Monday night game, I think
it could be
90% of it goes to Sean Green.
Well, yeah.
A big chunk.
That was a critical, critical fumble.
Two of them.
Yeah.
And he didn't do, he, you know, he only lost one, but he just, he didn't show up. He didn't show up to play.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't show up to play. And that's what their offense is based on.
Maybe they should have kept
You know, I didn't see Sanchez miss a lot of wide open throws in the game. I saw him check down a lot like they were criticizing, but I, you know, after watching Hard Knocks, that's what they drilled into him all summer.
Right.
So you can't say, well, the game plan was more conservative because it was Baltimore. That's what you did all summer long.
That's right.
You know, I have my doubts. Certainly, I'm with you guys. I have my doubts about Sanchez.
All right. Web Radio.
He's on the ticket, by the way, this week.
Is he? I
thought that was interesting.
The Sunday ticket?
No.
They're season tickets?
Yeah.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is John in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, John, before you get into talking about Patriots being in Dallas, what are they saying about the Cowboys after one game?
Like they say every game, we didn't deserve to lose that game. Yeah, this is it's funny. I try to get on Dallas radio too and give them a little bit of the pats down here because they need it, believe me. But they're living. It's funny. The fans here, I think, even the media live in a completely different world. They tend to crown people before they've proven themselves, like they did Romo, right? And Miles Austin. I mean, Miles Austin had one good year last year.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
They've given him a huge contract, you know. And it's
I'll
just,
take Miles Austin.
I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah, I think, you know, getting back to Sanchez, I don't, I think he's got some physical gifts, but I don't think he's got the mental side of it. But I think, you know, there's difference, like you guys are saying, there's difference between being a manager and being a leader, right? And I think he tends to be more of the manager. He's not even really good at that.
I was going to say, if he was good at that, I think they'd be okay with the defense they have. I'm not sure he's ready to even do that.
No, he's not. And, it's good for us, though, because I think, you know, the Jets got a lot of money tied up in Golston and him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't produce, they're in tough shape.
But if he doesn't produce, the Golston's almost irrelevant because it's about the quarterback. If they don't have a quarterback, any team doesn't have a quarterback and you invest in it, you're in trouble. It sets you back. Yeah. Everybody.
So guys, thinking ahead for the game this weekend, what do you think the keys are to the game?
Pass
Avoid
protection.
Turnovers.
Pass protection.
It's Tom Brady. It's his recognition. Recognition by Tom Brady, and then that,
but I
you
think
know, he needs
more,
the help too.
Yeah, see, I don't have any concern that Tom Brady will recognize every blitz that he needs to. But last year we saw guys not where they were supposed to be, Edelman and Joey Galloway, and some of these guys. Well, now it's Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez and Brandon Tate,
right?
That have never seen these kinds
That's
of
right.
things.
That's true. Good
and,
point.
To a lesser extent, Dan Conley. I think Dan Conley did play in the second game. Against the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. I think that might have been one of the games that Neil missed.
Yeah.
But yeah, pass protection to me, and that's everything. It's the receivers need to know where they're supposed to be too. I know Tom will be, and I know Randy Moss will be where he's supposed to be, and Wes Welker will be where he's supposed to be. I don't know about the other guys.
Yep.
Well, I think, I mean, it's funny. You read some of the Jets message boards, if I get on there this week, and just kind of seeing what their fans are saying.
Mm-hmm.
There, a lot of them are jumping ship already, but the ones who haven't, you know, they think they put too much importance on the Revis Moss matchup. To me, that's it's totally irrelevant.
Well, I don't think it's irrelevant.
Well, Revis is going to have a good game, and you know, Moss will get what he can get.
Well, like I said, in the first play, I put Moss in motion just to see if they're going to keep Revis with him.
Yeah, I mean, who. What about, this is, might be a crazy strategy, but what about holding Moss out for the first half?
What?
No.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
So we'll let Revis take somebody else away?
Great cash, homie.
Use Tate and Moss and run Revis all over the field.
Okay.
Put Moss in second half when he's got fresh legs. And you know, Revis is not, he's not in complete game shape right now.
I agree with that 100%. I would take some chances at Revis.
Well, and I but, you know, John makes a good point. Maybe not Moss on the field as much. Maybe you do spread out a little bit more when you have Edelman and Welker on the field at the same time,
yeah,
minus Moss, just to open up that underneath a little bit, you know, when they blitz.
And so how's that going to open opening up underneath?
Welker and Edelman. No, who's there to
but
open
who's
it
there
up?
To open up the underneath? Someone's got
to
go deep.
When they don't have to worry about anyone going deep.
No, but if they're selling out on a blitz, that opens up the middle. You just have to recognize it and have people there.
But no, not necessarily. I mean, they didn't open up the middle the other night when they sold out on blitzes.
Well, how do you know? Sanchez wouldn't have been able to take advantage of it even if they did.
Who cares about Sanchez? I'm talking about the Jets' defense.
That's what I'm
Baltimore
saying.
Baltimore was on the field. I don't care what Sanchez was doing when he was on the field.
If Sanchez had an open, he wouldn't have been able to hit him anyway.
Why are you talking about Sanchez? Flacco. We're talking about the Jets' defense, not
Flacco
not offense.
Played the Jets' defense. Okay. Look, what I'm saying is when a team blitzes as much as they do, if you have guys who can get open very fast, it helps your quarterback. If you have two guys who can get open very fast, it helps them even more.
But I think Andy's point, and I think he's right, is in order to get those guys open across the middle, you need someone to threaten the defense. If you're taking the best player on the offense off the field, the safeties just crowd the line. Well, Welker and Edelman aren't running by you.
Tate might.
Well, he might, but you can just throw one guy on him and not worry about it.
But I'm saying, but I look at this like I used to look at the Wildcat. You don't want to take Brady off the field? I don't want to take Moss off the field for no reason.
I'm saying that one of the reasons might be is, like John says, maybe save his legs for the second half. Don't have him run routes every play in the first half. You know, save him a little for the second half. And I think if Edelman's active, I think you might be able to come up with some schemes that, you know.
I consider that a victory if I'm the Jets and I see Randy Moss standing on the sideline.
Some quick passes. Right now, I would say.
To me, that feels a lot like changing my whole offensive scheme last year.
It's not.
I win before the game starts. If you're taking Randy Moss off the field.
It's not. The Patriots, if anything, they're flexible.
Why don't we say Brady? His arm might be a little stronger in the second half to hit Moss.
If Moss didn't play in the first half and ended up with no catches in the first half and Edelman and Welker ended up the game with 10 catches each, if I were the Jets, I'd say I accomplished exactly what I wanted to do. Now, it's all up to my offense if they scored points, because you're not going to just shut the Patriots out.
Right. But wouldn't you say right now at this point in time that in the open field, Edelman might be able to make more people miss than Wes Welker?
But why do you think he's going to be in the open field with no one around?
Because he's going to have one-on-one coverage, probably.
Why? Not if Moss isn't on the field.
Why would you double Julian Edelman?
Because there's no one else on the field to double.
What about Welker?
You double the two guys. Those are the only two guys that can hurt you. You double them.
But, guys, when we played the Jets last year, I think Revis was in single coverage on Moss for, like, I don't know, 90% of the plays.
He was.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
and that opens up things for Wes Welker to catch 15 passes.
Right. But I'm saying the whole discussion around needing a safety to cover Moss in addition to Revis is it's irrelevant.
That's
it's
right.
You think that, wait a minute.
That's the
you
good
go
point,
back,
John.
No, you go back and look at
bring a safety down to the line anyway. That's what they do.
That's not what they did to Moss last year. If you go back and look at the interception that Revis makes, it's one-on-one coverage, absolutely.
Exactly.
There's another safety back behind.
Yeah, he's playing a deep safety.
He's not worried about the line of scrimmage.
And he won't be playing a deep safety if
Moss isn't
on the
out
field.
There. He's not going to be doing that to Brandon Tate.
And that's where Brady says, okay, I'm going to Tate.
Well, okay. Good luck.
Good luck.
See if you can win the game doing that.
There will be zero coverage with Revis on Tate because you just apparently disregard Revis, too. Because if Moss isn't on the field, maybe
we're taking
just put
Moss
him on
off the field. That's the biggest threat the Patriots have to occupy defenders.
Revis
right?
isn't going to leave on the other side to match you. He's still going to be on the field. He just has a much better matchup now.
Yeah, you're making it sound like we're taking Moss off the field every play. I'm saying
no,
entire first half.
That was the
whoa.
Question.
Did I say take him off the entire first half?
Yes.
I said maybe not as
John
much.
John said it, and
wait
you agreed it.
I did not say that.
Let me just stop. Wait a minute. Let me just stop. I'll apologize. I thought that was the
point. No.
I'm pretty sure John said save his legs for the second half.
Well, I said maybe you don't.
So I apologize if that's not the point.
Maybe he did, but I said maybe not as much. Save him for the second half. You know, don't. I said, in fact, my exact words were don't run him on every play. Is what I said.
Well, you don't have to worry about that.
You know?
Right. Because every time he runs deep, he puts his hand up and walks off the field.
Or as much. But I think you know, John has – maybe you do have some other options with both Edelman and Welker. You didn't have that last year. You know?
Right. But
no. So
I want my best off.
If that's the way the Patriots want to try to win the game, if I'm the Jets, I'm happy.
And now you have –
ding, 2 years in a row, your visit to New York, I won before the game started.
And also you have two things you didn't have last year in the Meadowlands, which are tight ends that can catch the ball.
Right.
These are options they didn't have last year. They don't have –
I agree with more options. I don't like taking away the best option.
They took Moss out of the game, and the Patriots had nothing to answer
with. This year, I want them to focus on taking Moss out of the game so the other options can make plays.
Well,
I don't take him out of the game myself.
But you're suggesting, not you, maybe John was suggesting that the Patriots take Moss out of the game.
Yeah, no, not.
I need the Jets to occupy their defenders to take him out of the game so those other options work. Then I'm happy with that. If I take Moss off the field, even for a handful of plays, I'm making the Jets' life easier. I don't want to do that.
Can I ask one more question before you guys cut me loose?
Sure.
Could we see a different Jets defense? Meaning, could they actually play a little bit more soft and not blitz as much and just kind of drop back in his zone?
They certainly could, but, you know, a horse of a color, a certain color, I think that's what their mentality is. And if I'm Rex Ryan, why would I want to stop that? Teams make the mistake of not putting pressure when they can on Tom Brady. Teams that have done it successfully, Giants in the Super Bowl, Denver when we play in Denver, the Jets when we've played the Jets, and the Ravens, when they put the heat on Brady, Brady's just human. He's not going to beat it every time. You know, when you put the heat on every play like they do, it really forces the quarterback when he has an opportunity to be perfect. And if you're not perfect, you're going to lose. And I think teams make mistakes. I think Cincinnati made a mistake. I think they should have brought more heat on Brady last week.
Plus, it worked for him opening day. As much as they want to say on TV, I can't believe he's doing this and putting Kyle Wilson in jeopardy, you gave up 10 points, and you only gave up 10 because
with
of
all those
the kicker penalty.
Right.
That, you take those 4 points off the board that they ended up getting, you might win that game 9-6.
Yep.
Right? So why would I, against an offense that everybody thinks is going to be good?
Yeah.
Joe Flacco's added weapons with Ray Rice, a good, diverse, playoff-caliber
offense.
There's
such a thing in football where you're so good at one thing, you just line up and keep doing it.
Bill says it. The 80s Giants, we did what we did because we were good
at
it.
And I think that's the way the Jets defense is.
And I think
is.
Rex Ryan with his big cojones feels that way.
And
he doesn't want to change.
I did think they got a little bit too carried away at times. But listen,
they won.
It worked.
I mean,
it worked. Because for as many times as Flacco picked up the blitz and made a play on it, they also forced him into throwing the ball away a lot of times, too. And I think those times get ignored.
And I know Brady's better, but
Brady's a lot better.
You do what you do, and you do it very well. Again, don't outthink yourself.
Right.
And Fred's right.
Right.
Because
don't take Moss off the field. Don't stop blitzing.
Don't use grease boards on the sideline calling your plays.
Exactly. There's nothing that makes
– but that's my point. That's what I think. Taking Moss out of the game plan and choosing to do it is the same as that. I think you're losing the game.
Well,
you're waving
I
the
hear what
flag.
You're saying. And
it's a defeatist approach.
But all I'm saying is you do have options that you did not have
last
year.
And I want to use them once Revis is in the field with Moss.
I just don't want to take Moss off the field.
I hear what you're saying.
The last thing I want is Darrell Revis running with Brandon Tate and finding it so easy that he pulls a Ty Law, he drifts off, and he picks off the pass intended for Rob Gronkowski because he finds it so easy to take away Tate and somebody else.
Yeah.
I want him working his ass off because I also tend to think that Randy Moss, when motivated, and I know he was motivated last year, the second time, all that, so he's a showman. It's early in the year. He wants to put on a show.
And
the whole Dallas.
This is Moss's time.
Every time I go back to Dallas because they didn't pick me, I'm going to make them pay for it. Well, he said he prided his whole offseason on staying off Revis Island.
This is Moss's time.
Give him a chance to make some plays.
Sunny and warm. You know, this is Moss's time.
And I do worry about him, though.
How do you think he'll react mentally if you go, Randy, here's the game plan?
No.
Wait, where am I on this?
But I also, with a guy like Moss, I also worry when he doesn't get that success early, then he starts tuning out.
He won't get it early. You guys want him on the sideline.
Well, but he won't fail either.
Appreciate the support.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what he'll fail to do? Give you any effort in the second half. He'll just tank it. No doubt in my because I would too.
If you sat him out in the first half, he'd get nothing out of him.
I am by no means saying sit him out. Absolutely not. He's still in there for 70% of the plays.
Good call, though, John. Well, I don't know if it was a good call or not, but you elicited good discussion.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com. The email address, that is the email address. The phone number is 508-543-7482. John in Ithaca says, I just had my PFW subscription renewed for my birthday, courtesy of my lovely wife. This has become a yearly tradition, and I recommend PFW as a gift for any Patriots fan you can't miss. Great, great email. 1-800-494-PATS if you want to subscribe or give a gift for your loved one.
Or PFWonline.com.
And he also says, hey, I just wanted to give some listener love as opposed to the hate that's been going on the past few weeks regarding phone callers. Brooklyn Matt on John Rook's show yesterday was outstanding. That was a tremendous call and well-timed. If we ever come up with some kind of really active fan club, he's got to be involved. If you haven't heard it yet, take a listen.
He's also very good on the blog. He's a great blog commenter. I will.
And looking forward to the big matchup. This will be intense. Also looking forward to the erotic adventures of the PFW crew as you return to the Big Apple. Keep the stories coming, Eric. This stuff is gold for us domesticated guys who live vicariously through them.
Last time we were in the Big Apple, we saw two big melons.
I didn't hear Brooklyn Matt. I guess he was pretty good.
Yeah. He's creative. Despite his low SAT score, he's a pretty creative guy.
Yeah. He had a good call with John Rook, I guess.
I've never
heard
of him.
On the playbook?
Now, you guys.
Stepping inside the
playbook?
Staying
at the same place.
Yes.
Can I convince you to go to Arthur's? It's 5 minutes away, literally.
I don't know. It depends whether that other place is open.
All right.
All right.
It's just stubbornness. It really is.
No, they don't have filet, you said.
No, they do.
I thought they had steak.
They do have steak.
No, I thought it was listed on the thing as steak.
I think they have a filet. I have to ask...
Because I don't like wedge salad or non-filet steak.
Ask Silverman. He was there. I know what I'm going to order. I don't even bother looking at the menu. I don't even bother looking at the menu, but...
You just have a steak.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think they only have a steak. Yeah. You order a steak.
What's wrong with that?
I want filet. Steak comes in fat.
Oh, it gives it more flavor.
Oh, I don't want fatty flavor. I want meat.
Rule number 27.
Yeah.
/ G.
I hate fat, gristles, bones, anything. I want a nice filet.
Okay.
I don't want any stuff left on the plate when I'm done. It's disgusting. I'm not a caveman.
You are artard, though.
Andy Mad. Dave from Whitehall, Pennsylvania. How's it going, boys? This is my first time writing into the show this season.
Welcome aboard.
And would like to start off saying how great the win was against the Bengals and how I can already see a massive difference between last year's offense and this year's offense. Over the last few years, every single email I've sent has been read on the air. None of you guys agreed with it, so hopefully being a new optimistic year, that trend can finally end right now. I have one concern for the game versus the Jets this Sunday, and I'm wondering if you feel it can be cause for concern, the rookie tight ends, Big Rob and Hernandez. My concern is them being rookies and only being their second pro game and already having to go up against the number one defense in the league. I'm worried that they'll be our offense's weakest link with regards to blocking and picking up all the exotic blitzes. I hope they won't be the reason Brady has no time that makes us rarely score. What do you think? Do you think they are ready for this kind of defense?
As ready as they will be next year, no. But
that's
I think
a concern for me.
I've been impressed.
And I think that the Patriots have the same concern. I think Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick are thinking we can't, you know, hang these guys out to dry. We have to pick our spots with them.
But he felt pretty confident to play Gronkowski the entire game. To me, if there were concerns, you wouldn't see him out there 99% of the snaps or whatever the number was.
With
Hernandez is a slot receiver. If he's the hot read and doesn't make that recognition, that's an issue. But blocking-wise, pass rush-wise, Gronkowski would be the bigger concern. And from what I've seen, it's a minor concern, but it's a concern you'd have with any young player.
And I think also in that all the talk they had about the playbook, you know, sort of that they haven't gotten anywhere near everything yet. So I'm wondering if they have scaled it down as they move on here, if it's going to become an issue with these guys. You know, are they... as they start learning more and more stuff, and now you're exposed to more and more different defenses.
G-Force.
It's a concern.
With regards to juicing up our crowd, how about pass out towels before every game and play music in certain situations when our D gets a sack, play the Phantom of the Opera theme on the chorus to Another One Bites the Dust? And how about when the other team fumbles it away or throws it on interception, play the chorus of Give It Away by the Chili Peppers? Anyway, that was the concern I have for Sunday's game and a few ideas to make Gillette a better home field advantage. If you don't think the rookies will hold our offense back, then I like our Pats to win 29-13. Great listening to you guys, and Fred, we'll talk to you on Kirschwood Sunday.
But, I mean, just compare it to last year. You didn't have Welker. You had Edelman in there, a rookie.
Right.
You had Galloway, a lost soul. I think you have to feel better about it. I mean, you have concerns and legitimate ones, but maybe not quite as big as the concerns ended up being last year.
True. So we'll see.
Edelman was an issue at times last year.
But Paul says it does come down to protection.
I don't think they're going to have a whole different plan going into the game the way they did last year.
If our line doesn't hold up, it doesn't matter what the plan is. You're just going to get beat at the line, and that's it.
Well, if it's just one-on-one getting their butts whooped, then yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If it's blitzes coming and Gronkowski doesn't know what he's doing and they're sliding the wrong way, that kind of stuff, that's a separate issue.
Yeah. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. There's a lot of guys standing in the production room here. I don't know what's going on. People with, like, really dour looks on their face, like things aren't working right, or I don't know.
There's always a chance.
Today's lunch is brought to you by, or brought to us by.
No.
What?
I don't have a lunch.
Well, I'm just saying. Paul in London.
Oh, my favorite, Paul.
He says, hope you're enjoying the lunch. Well, not yet, but we will. It will fire you up before the last show before the Jets game. I want some arguing, and I want some ranting from Fred.
We've already had it.
Yep. Anyway.
He didn't know why Mark Sanchez didn't hit the underneath throws against the Jets defense in the opener.
Well, I'm saying at any time a team blitzes a lot, if the quarterback can't recognize or have the time to, you know, hit these guys underneath, it doesn't matter.
I'm not worried about Tom Brady. Despite a couple years ago when he started the year and struggled in that area and Takeo Spikes, that one was clearly
But he has had problems when teams have put the heat on him. Let's face it.
Well,
but not recognizing it, getting hit by it.
Well,
there's a difference between getting hit and being
Joe Flacco effed up on the first play of the game. And it was not a blitz. It was a three-step drop that he decided, I'm just going to hold on to the ball. And these guys are going to get chopped down, get up, and then get me.
And miss that guy in the end zone terribly.
No, but I'm talking about that's a physical getting beat up because of his own decision.
Yep.
I don't expect Tom Brady to do that.
Question one from Paul. First snap of the game on offense, how do you line up on offense? I come out with the two young tight ends, Welker Moss and Green Ellis. If you look at that in the huddle, you would probably think it's a run play or a quick pass. I'd line them up five wide. You're going to get a matchup advantage somewhere out of the five receivers.
Why is it Green Ellis?
Yeah, but Green Ellis, how is he in the passing game?
Fred Taylor and everything else is fine with me. On that,
I'd put Chris Jenkins.
Or if you wanted to, if you definitely wanted to go five wide, then Kevin Falk. You know, I mean, if you want to try to make him think you're going to run,
right?
Then Fred Taylor's the guy I want on the field.
Well, what he's saying is that the look in the huddle, so then they can't do the quick sub.
But Fred Taylor would.
If you're trying to sell run, Fred Taylor's the guy I want on the field.
Quick one, Fred. Wes Welker was one of the guys that talked for quite a while today, and people were talking about his knee brace. He's obviously sick of it. We know post-game he said he wanted to burn it, and he kind of hemmed and hawed. And then Ian Rappaport of the Herald go, it's interesting, you want to get rid of your brace. Chris Jenkins got rid of his brace and tore his ACL again. And Welker goes, thanks for that. It was very, very funny.
Question two, if you're a Bill, do you keep the four big D linemen on the field with Mayo and Spikes and force Sanchez to throw from the start?
In general, I'm stopping the run. My priority is stopping the run. I don't know the formation.
Whatever you feel is the best run stopping. Yeah, I don't know what that would be either.
Remember, you got the Terminator.
Spikes and Mayo, I think, would be out there. No?
The Terminator.
Right? Well, I think he was. Was he referencing what they did last week?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think you'd want Spikes and Mayo out there, right?
Probably.
If you want to try to stop the run at the outset.
Question three, Pats are inside the Jets' five-yard line on the first drive. Two tight ends are running back. Connolly is in there at fullback, and Moss is one-on-one with Revis. Do you run it, look for a tight end, or just throw it to Randy and let him prove a point?
Not the latter.
No. I'd go to G-Force, but I'm a bit biased.
And finally, do you see the Pats having any success on the ground at all, or is this going to be Brady's game to win or lose?
I think they'll have to be somewhat balanced. They'll have to have some success to win.
I think they're going to have decent success on the ground. I think to win or lose, it's going to be Brady. But
I think they'll have success like, you know, the usual type running between the tackles, just line up, handoff.
No,
will it be more like draw plays?
There'll be some Falk yards in there.
Yeah.
Especially if they get to, say, 90 yards. I would say there'll be 40 yards where you say Kevin Falk schnookered him.
But I'm wondering if... When you know, on the times that you schnooker them, you know, is it third and eight, and he gets the first down on one of those
runs?
That's
what he's want to do.
Yeah.
He also got a new helmet today. Another note out of the locker room.
Oh, Falk did?
We've seen a lot of those.
Passed it off to Rotten and said, a lot of success, a lot of plays in that helmet.
A lot of plays in that
something.
Helmet.
And I think Rotten said, yeah, it's old.
All right.
Has he always had that shield? Does he always wear a shield?
Falk?
I believe so, yeah.
No, the answer is.
No?
You know how I know?
No.
Turn over your left shoulder.
Oh, there he is, with no shield.
No.
Although that's pretty old photo.
No, I know, but I said always.
Yeah. Let's see. John says, just
is
wanted
John
to...
in Dallas again?
No.
We get a lot of Johns.
Actually, this is Jay. He goes by John in his email, but he says it's Jay. So I'll say he's Jay.
I knew a guy once, John Jay. His middle name was Jay, and he went by Jay, I think. Maybe John.
Just wanted to commend Paul on abandoning that dying AM sports radio show and joining the funny and informative New Kids in the Block at 98.5. Another benefit
really
for Paul.
Paid off for him.
Another benefit for Paul, he doesn't have to listen to that boring know-it-all Lou Merlone any longer.
Another benefit is he doesn't have to cash as many checks. Not as big a check.
Also, Andy, why do you sound so serious on Toucher and Rich? We want your opinions and knowledge, but you have to lighten up.
I
can't believe I'm saying that to you after hearing this show. Do you clam up on that show?
Jonathan listens to that show a lot.
Mr. Serious on Toucher and Rich?
I'm going to defend Andy a little bit.
Okay.
I think if Andy was on with Felger and Maz, I think you'd see a little bit more of the normal Andy.
I'd also, if I were on with
anybody.
Two
guys you don't know.
I don't know him at all. And if I were in studio with anybody, I'd be more comfortable. Yeah. The phone, I'm always...
Like, I was joking around with Felger and Maz yesterday because I know them pretty well. I wouldn't have done that with guys I didn't know.
Maz just agreed with Felger, right?
I was making fun of Maz the whole time. I go, how do you do this? How do you put up with him?
He just doesn't say anything. You can go entire segments whether you wonder, oh, is Maz off today? Oh, there he is. Big fan of Maz, but he's been bullied by Felger.
Yeah, that's house guy.
Now Eric at Brooklyn is saying that the mics are clipping. I don't know what that means. I don't know.
Well, maybe that's why there were people in there.
He also says, I wrote in yesterday, but as I said in the email, I don't know if my email's read. So, again, we only have 52 guys right now. Where do you see that going? Where do you get the other guy in what position?
I would go outside linebacker.
Sean Crable.
Think they bring up Crable?
Yeah, that was we came to that conclusion yesterday.
Okay.
And there were reports yesterday, not only did people like guess it was, but there were actual reports that Javaris James was the guy and they were going to add the fifth running back. That apparently was not accurate as of yesterday. Maybe it could happen. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't think they would do anything until Saturday.
Right.
You get through the week of practice without anybody getting banged up.
But I believe Scout.com reported that he had been promoted to the active roster.
Really?
And
so maybe it's true then.
No, it was reported as not fact later after the report happened.
Oh,
the Herald ran with it saying Scout.com reported it and then updated their own report saying it was not true.
I thought that was one of those sites that has the wire. Which one is that that always has the wire
Scout.com is very good with transaction news. But apparently they were wrong in this case.
Yeah,
or maybe the Patriots once again had a running back where they didn't know what to do with.
I think if you're Belichick, you wait because you might right now think one position is the guy and then all of a sudden someone gets banged up at practice or the guy that you wanted to activate off the practice squad. If it was Javaris James and all of a sudden he turns an ankle.
Depth on Wednesday isn't necessarily depth on Sunday.
Right.
Deanna from Michigan says, today's my birthday. Can I get a shout-out? You absolutely can.
Come here, and I'll give you a present.
Today's birthday shout-out comes to you from Bob Capodanno Insurance. Bob Capodanno Insurance for all your insurance needs. Paul likes that.
That's good stuff. Former Patriot Bob Capodanno.
Happy birthday, Deanna. How do you spell Deanna?
Kevin Collins looks up. He's like, I didn't know we had a new sponsor.
N-N-A.
D-E-A-N-N-A.
Two P's, two N's.
No. He said, how do you spell Deanna?
Oh, I thought he meant Capodanno.
Two P's, two N's.
Where's our food?
I'm losing it. My blood sugar's low.
Yes. Did you make out okay at the doctor yesterday? Are you going to live another year?
I have to get an MRI on the 23rd or something like that.
They're going to get the big one that they used for Gaither that day?
I don't know.
He didn't fit through the regular tube.
In reference to the long ball, this is from Sean to Moss, which I hope to see burn Revis Sunday. Do you think Brady has too much air under the ball? Why do you think this is happening?
Not always. This week I thought he threw an absolute bullet that was offline. Remember that when he ran that little deep corner away?
So you just think he's inaccurate?
No, I don't think it's the easiest thing in the world to do.
That's what he does.
That is true.
Do you remember that play? He threw a much lower, harder
throw.
Not
the one that Crocker broke up? Because the one that Crocker broke up, I think he did put
thrown.
Too much air under
no,
it.
The one
it
was poorly thrown.
If there's one thing that I'll criticize him on his long ball this, you know, preseason leading up into this first game, is that he's waited too long to throw it when Moss is running. Just assume Moss is going to catch up to it.
He's underthrown him some, yes.
You know. Let's see. Linden from.
I wouldn't be stunned,
by the way,
to see him.
I always get Linden's wrong name. I always say Leiden.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Moss have a big play this week.
I think it's a good week where you may see 2 for 78 or something. You know, he gets one big play, but other than that, isn't really a huge factor.
I agree.
Lyndon from California says, yesterday I asked why Bolden wasn't covered by Revis the entire game. This morning I read on ESPN that they did this because of Revis's conditioning, deciding to keep him on the left side of the field instead of having him shadow the team's top receiver.
Yeah, I didn't see him changing sides.
This Sunday, though, they'll be back to what they did last year, and Revis will be the
Rexy
one
says.
With Moss.
Mm-hmm. Rex said you can book it. Count on it. He's gonna be following him everywhere.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Well, I think even a poorly conditioned Revis is better than anyone else on Moss.
PK Sam?
Poorly conditioned.
Yeah. 508-543-7482 we have an open line, but on one of the other lines, Danny from Orlando is on the phone. Danny, how you doing? Danny? Oh, Danny boy.
Oh, Danny.
He's not there. What happened, Kevin? He doesn't.
How long did he wait?
He went right to him that time.
He was on for like 15, 20 minutes.
Well, that's normal for sports radio.
He went through pretty quick. I saw Phil Collins give him the...
we got a line that just opened up.
We do have an open line at 508-543-7482, and we have a lot of emails coming in.
Read some.
All this oxygen I'm using, though. I need food. Mark from the UK.
Your mic's on in there, numbnut. Sure.
Let's listen to what he's saying.
We're learning. Hang on a sec, Brett.
Yes, we can hear you, so we're listening.
You're
on the air.
We can hear you.
I'm
overwhelmed.
I resign.
Andy wins.
Mark from UK. Hi, guys. I thought I'd drop you an email just in case you actually decided to read some today.
Wow, Fred. That's all on you.
Wait, shot across the bow from you. Across the pond.
I asked John Rook to do me a favor, and I think he got to a lot of
we
emails.
Got our sloppy seconds on
yeah.
there.
Well, the emailers that email in, they want to be read on the real show.
Oh.
That's us.
Speaking of real show, we're having a new show starting Tuesday. The Pete Shepard Show starts at 4 o'clock on Tuesday and will be on every Tuesday from here on in.
BS with PS.
No. So we're excited about that. Pete came in today. We did some promo shots with him, like as if we were a real radio station.
Real radio? Wesley Wabbit.
Oh.
Weekdays. Water six.
It's Wabbit.
We're starting to get on my nerves.
So now, what did he? You guys talk about show? How it's going to be set up? Format? What's he thinking?
I don't know.
What do you think he's going to prepare?
I thought we'd take a minute to discuss the show.
No, he'll have guests, and you know,
as I said, I think one of those guests could be
Bill
could
Belichick. Doubt in my mind.
Well, it could be.
No doubt in my mind. He'll come on at least once. Yeah.
What's the big plan? This is Mark in Oxford.
Pete will ask one question. It'll go on for 10 minutes and then Bill will leave.
What's the big plan to beat the Jets defense, which looks a bit tasty? Is that what he's saying?
T-A-S-T-Y?
I can't read it.
I don't know if it looks tasty. Our tight end package of Crumpler, Gronk, and Hernandez, are they going to be more important to the offense in blocking or receiving at the weekend? Personally,
blocking.
I could see some big down-the-field plays for Gronk and Hernandez. I don't think the Jets have enough personnel to match up with everyone. Is this the weekend we finally see the defensive coordinator's nightmare of Moss, Welker, Tate, Edelman, Gronk, and Hernandez all lined up on the field together for a play? If Sanchez can get his offense moving, then it could be a blowout to the Pats. Sanchez is the key. Well, the problem with downfield plays
guys,
is who's going to when are you going to have
time? Can you read all the guys on the field again?
Moss, Welker, Tate, Edelman, Gronk, and Hernandez.
You could.
You could.
Empty, but, empty.
You know?
Yeah, that's six. So that's six receivers? I'm going to say you couldn't see that.
Why, there were six listed?
No, it was
listening.
Five.
Moss, Welker, Edelman, Tate, Gronk, and Hernandez.
Did he have Tate in there, too?
That's what you just said. Oh,
okay. No, it's in front of you, not us.
So that's that would be illegal.
Yeah.
Unless one of them is lined up as a blocker and doesn't go
You're
out.
You're getting your wish. Was Crumpler one of them?
No.
Did he really play tackle?
No, I think he was. Four wide receivers and two tight ends.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Brad from the Eastern Shores on the line. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Much better shows as the week has gone on. You started out on a rough note Tuesday, but...
Why is that? Because of all the technical stuff?
Well, yeah, that you weren't on for the first hour. And yeah. I asked Kevin, I said, did you really make him sound like the Chipmunks on purpose? And he swore that he didn't.
He can't do anything on purpose. He doesn't know how to use the equipment.
But, no, you guys sounded really good as the Chipmunks. I was waiting for you to start singing Christmas songs or something.
I wanted Fred to come. Albert!
Couple things. I am also in agreement that I do believe it'll be Sean Crable that's called up. unless Bill is just really going against all logic.
Well, couldn't they just bring back Morrell, too?
Well,
I guess you would do that early in the week. You wouldn't do that late in the week. That would be a Wednesday decision.
Right, an outside linebacker, shall we say?
Yeah.
If we want to leave Morrell as an option.
Yeah, but you're probably right. He's not, because they would have done it already.
I really don't have the big fear that you've been talking about with the tight ends on the field early in the season against such a great defense, only because Algie Crumpler is our blocker. And not that Gronk isn't great. I'm G-Force all the way. But I really think, tell me that New York can cover either three wide receivers and Falk, or just three wide receivers and keep Falk and Algie Crumpler as blockers.
Kevin Falk, LSU.
I really think that Brady would pick him apart even if he only's got three options.
Well, it's because about Crumpler, the pass rush in terms of picking apart. Picking apart implies a little bit of time.
No, but I'm saying I think Crumpler will. I mean, Crumpler's a way better blocker than Heap ever was.
I would say that's true.
See, I hear what you're saying, Brad, about, you know, again, it goes back to the options that Brady has that he didn't have, but it does come down to the pressure Brady's going to be under. You know, you got to have time to look at and find these options, and, you know, the Jets are going to be dead set on not allowing him the time.
Yeah, if you tell me he has a lot of time, he'll find receivers.
He'll pick them apart.
His first or second read has got to be the one that he goes to.
But if he has an extra second, even just one extra second, because Crumpler stoned the outside linebacker or Falk picks up the linebacker, he only needs three reads. You're exactly right, Fred. By his third read, the ball's out. You know, he'd said Monday or Tuesday, I think it was Monday on the whatever show he was on, they asked him, how many reads can you go through? And it was, you know, talk about a stupid question. You can only have five reads. You guys just talked about that. You know, and he kind of said, well, you know, you don't usually plan on reading all five. You kind of eliminate a couple early and then go from there. Well, you know, you've always got Falk that can slip out if everybody's blocked. But it gives you an opportunity to say, you know what, we're going to have five offensive linemen. We're going to have Crumpler, who's a career, over the last 5 years, a career blocking tight end, and one of the best pickup blitz running backs in the league.
This all sounds great, but then you play teams like the Giants in the Super Bowl or the Ravens last postseason or what the Ravens saw from the Jets to open the year, and, Paul, you like to make fun of me when I used to say punt protection, step, slide, in practice. In a game, it's, oh, my God, this guy's coming really fast. The poo hits the fan, and all these little plans of how great Crumpler and Falk are go out the window.
I mean, I think we all look at this game pretty much the same. If the Jets succeed at pressuring Brady consistently, they will have probably a good chance of keeping the score down. If the Patriots succeed at doing exactly what you just said, I think the Patriots are going to pick him apart.
I'm not even sure Brady needs extra time.
No.
The extra second. If you give him as planned time, you know, three steps drops, he gets a little bit of protection, five steps, is, you know.
Because I don't care how good you cover.
I think he's fine.
I don't care. You saw it Monday night. They had really good coverage on a lot of those plays. But they were able to convert a lot of third downs because if you have enough time, just enough, a sliver of time here or there, you're going to convert and you're going to get penalties.
And
you're
Bolden made
ways.
Some really good catches
and
good coverage.
I mean, what were they, like 9 for their first 11 on third down?
Yeah.
I mean, they counted all the penalties. It was like several penalties on third down conversions.
Right. Jack says, you guys are the real show. Oh, please. I hold my emails till 2 because I'd like them to be read without the sound effect of food being shoved down throats.
Then why are you listening?
Thank you for doing that.
Jack off.
Thank you for doing that.
Were you? I
won't step inside the playbook.
I won't use his name. But were you guys here this morning when a member upstairs in the cube said, yelled across to our designer Mauro Brown, "Hey Maura, I beat it last night." And then he goes, "Well, that didn't sound good." He was actually, I guess, maybe a new Halo or something came out
Halo
yesterday,
was,
and he was talking about beating the game. But he just yells, "Hey Maura, I beat it."
We hang around with him too much.
Yes.
Let's see. Ross from Glasgow writes in. He says, I was wondering if the Pats could set up a sponsor to give gifts or Patriots merchandise or maybe even free food at the stadium if the opposing team false starts. You could randomly draw a seat number as the prize winner, and the prize could increase in worth if it was a third down. Would this maybe encourage some noise from the crowd?
Best idea I've heard yet.
fans get something for doing something.
Give away food. Andy's on board.
But I don't even care.
Throw burritos into the
some sort of incentive where false starts and crowd effect is given back to the fans. They get something. It can be money. It can be the lottery.
Coupons.
Give them a lottery ticket.
You get coupons.
That's not a bad idea.
For some
or give like a section.
For food.
Yeah, a section, a seat, however you... I don't care about the details. I like this general idea. Fans get something for having an impact.
Yeah, but they... Okay, so if there's a false start, fans get something.
Yeah.
There's going to be false starts. It doesn't mean it's because the fans were loud.
No, obviously, but you're trying to incentivize them to get more.
It's
right,
more likely
but we're picking somebody at random to win. So you could be the guy that's sitting on his hands and win. It doesn't... You know what I'm saying? I like the concept,
yes,
but there's no way to really reward the people who did it.
Zoom around, see who's standing up.
The idea is we want.
I know what the idea is, and I understand. Would this maybe encourage? Blah, 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 blah. You could make, or maybe he has some answers here. You could maybe
blah, 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 blah.
Monitor specific crowd sections for the noise they produce, and the winner could be drawn from that section. That way, you would be encouraging crowd sections to shout more than each other and generate more noise. Well, maybe if you had meters. On each section, and then you know, now we're, you know.
I don't care. It's a good idea. However, it's a good idea.
You know, maybe you have meters.
I'm like Anthony yesterday who just kept saying, there's got to be a way. This guy found a way, an idea.
I know it's a random thought, but hey, I'm Scottish, and so what do I know?
No, it's better. You beat the Portuguese guy who called yesterday. He said he was Portuguese, right?
Yeah.
Finally, I was.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Finally, I was
Scottish.
I was surprised to hear Fred surmising his perfect weekend on Tuesday, Pats win, Jets and Colts lose, without him mentioning the Raiders' loss in the potential top 5 or 10 pick next year. It's a good point. Always like to see the Raiders lose.
You always like to see everybody not named Patriots lose.
Teams that have badmouthed us in the past, I hold a grudge with.
The Raiders badmouth?
Sure.
Oh, are you kidding me?
For what?
Oh, yeah.
The Tuck Rule?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't really consider being right bad-mouthing.
No, they've done things, you know, going back to Sugar Ray Hamilton's Phantom the Passer, roughing the passer call.
Isn't it Bear?
What did I say?
Sugar Ray.
Well, his name is Ray Hamilton, isn't it?
Yeah. But wasn't he the Sugar Bear?
Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear Ray Hamilton.
Sugar
Hamilton.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
So I hate the Raiders. I hate Polian. He's bad-mouthed us. The Jets, of course. Who else do I hate? Steelers.
We only have an hour left.
Steelers I hate.
You hate everybody.
Those are my top ones.
You do hate everybody.
No, I don't. Those are my top ones.
You love Pete. Huh? I should have picked Pete to go to Super Bowl.
Yeah. I like Pete. Yes, Andy. G4, says Derek from the University of Arizona. I hope he crushes a Jets defender this week. But anyway, what do you think the game plan should be against the Jets? Maybe score points, Paul? What a novel idea.
You're going to have to score some points to win.
But seriously, are there certain formations you would use? If so, what specifically? I think if we can score 20 points, we can win 9 out of 10 times. I'm sure we could get away with scoring less.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm sure we could get away with scoring less, but I think people might overreact and give the Jets offense no credit. They did look terrible, but I wouldn't be surprised if they produce much better. After last week's game, there was nowhere to go but up.
I agree.
Also, remember, the freaking Ravens defense is pretty good, too.
Right.
You know?
And the freaking Ravens offense is pretty good, too. That's what people don't really keep in mind. The Ravens are a good team. Percent chance that either team, reaches 28 points this week. What's the percent chance for the Patriots?
What's the percentage?
40% chance.
Percentage
and how about
chance?
The Jets?
A 10% chance.
Percentage chance of what?
Reaching 28 points.
28?
Yeah.
Paul's fading fast without the food.
He really is. He's turned into Glenn Ordway where everything is a
question.
You ask him a question and it involves two more questions.
40% chance for the Patriots, 10% chance for the Jets.
I say less than 10% for the Jets. 40%?
Yeah.
Sounds about
after
right.
After all that, he just agreed with Fred.
I did. I agree with you, Freddie.
I resign.
What do you say?
I can't win with you guys. Either I'm argumentative or I'm too agreeable.
Would put a little bit more, I would say a 24% chance the Jets score 28 points. And Patriots, I'm going to go a little higher on them as well. I'd say a 48% chance.
Oh, okay. Is that Whitey Bulger on TV?
It's the Michigan track coach. This is why I lost.
He looks like Whitey Bulger.
This is why I lost focus.
Why? What did he put?
It says impact of running track on Denard Span's quarterback play, and I didn't realize they were talking about track and field.
Denard Span's an outfielder.
I mean, Denard Robinson.
Yeah.
Good call, my dear
Phil.
First contribution ever.
Thank you.
Thank you for correcting my English
today. Where is it?
I've went to check. It's still not there.
Derek also says, just saw on the Twitter that Terrence Wheatley has shed the walking boot.
I noticed him walking out of the weight room today with sneakers on, but looking as dejected as I've ever seen a player look in the locker room. If it were the end of August, I would have assumed he just found out he got cut.
Maybe really? He wasn't looking good.
He looked that unhappy. But he had sneakers on, didn't have a walking boot.
Woohoo! Okay.
He's healthy now, we can cut him.
Yeah. We don't have to give him an injury settlement. He can walk away on his own.
Maybe, yeah.
No, I don't think you can. With the depth in the secondary?
508-543-7482, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Oh, we're going to go around the league this today.
Yeah, I don't have the stats. I don't have the spreads.
Haven't seen a spread like that.
Hey, so call Eric upstairs and ask him to bring my Herald down.
We'll be doing that in about half an hour.
Practice?
I don't know.
Because I just walked, when I walked out to check on lunch, I walked smack dab into Mike Wright walking out the door.
Literally?
Yeah, pretty much.
You literally. Get hurt. He's a solid dude.
Why didn't Eric come for the first half of the show? The practice isn't until 1:15.
Because he's going to come by later.
I know, but he could leave and then come back.
I don't know what I wasn't listening.
I get the feeling he doesn't like us.
Yeah, I know. He's told us he doesn't like us.
I'll tell you, you're quite perceptive, young lad.
Dan writes in, dear Fred, Andy, Paul, and possibly Eric.
No.
I'm a long
Much like I don't go to Belichick press conferences anymore. He doesn't come to this show.
I'm a long-time dedicated listener from South Wales in the UK, but am a PFW virgin emailer.
Well, we'll pop your...
Oh, I knew you
cherry.
Were going to say something.
That's inappropriate. I left out the inappropriate part.
I love the things that he deems inappropriate.
I find that an offensive phrase that should not be used on radio and television.
To add to the discussion made earlier regarding taking Moss out for the first half, I didn't say that. And maybe John did.
I kind of think you did.
I did
John,
not
John
say,
absolutely
no,
did.
John
I did
definitely
not,
did.
And you agreed with him.
No, you agreed with him.
I said he might be on to something. In terms of, you know,
you and so you have to agree.
There's no way I would take Moss out.
That's why I can't believe he didn't win that point counterpoint.
The guy said keep him out in the first half, and you said he's onto something.
Well, no.
Not agreeing?
I would not agree with that.
He's not in agreeance.
I'm not in agreeance with that. Anyway, he says, what about the possibility of alternating between Moss and Tate, then constantly put them in motion and giving them deep roots? It's been well documented that Revis's fitness may not be up to scratch. Why not test him? Furthermore, why not go into no huddle for some periods? Is this too much to
well,
do?
I think they'll do that.
For one player, and would this method tire him out, or would there be any other method that could tire him out? Also, ESPN is reporting that a trade may well be on again for Vincent Jackson. Would you trade Mankins for him?
Yep.
Or who would you see being a realistic trade target for Mankins?
Oh, I don't know the second part.
Yeah, I would make that trade. I'm not sure that you could do it because of the money stuff. I don't know what Jackson's agreeing to. I don't know what Mankins is agreeing to. But player for player, I absolutely would do that. And we talked about that when, I forget the first caller. It was a long time ago. I just was skeptical about the money that the Chargers would ever do.
And I guess Jackson had a hearing at the league offices today about whether or not he's going to have
his suspension
six
reduced.
Or three games. I think it could be as little as.
I thought it was a three-game suspension. He's trying to get it whittled down.
And I also wanted to. I believe they placed him on that list, right?
Yes.
Does that travel with you?
I don't know.
Because wouldn't that be a question as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or would the suspension and the list coincide?
Maybe that's part of it, Freddie. Maybe that's why there's six out there because the Chargers put him on a list.
That reserve, you know, they send the letter and then. Once you resign, you're still kind of suspended.
I gotta think that's for the individual team.
I would hope, but I don't know.
Once again, PFW with none of the answers.
But we say we
Carry
don't
on.
Know. Unlike when Michael Felger and Tony Maserati talk about Chris Jenkins' ACL injury and rip him for choosing to use his hamstring instead of a cadaver and not knowing anything of which they speak, but talking very bombastically and ripping him.
They were ripping Chris Jenkins yesterday.
Yeah, Andy told me. Yeah.
And had it all wrong.
Yeah.
All wrong.
We could be all wrong, but we're posing it as we could be all wrong. Oh, of course. Speaking of all wrong.
Wow. I think we got screwed today.
Going to get on the horn here and check
Okay. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Great game last week, but that was the Bungles. The Jets are a different story. I'm a little worried about this week's game, especially if Fred Taylor is limited or doesn't play. Have we heard anything about him? Is he hurt?
Injury report. He's on the injury report.
Oh, boy. You're kidding me.
We just ruined Fred's week. One little thing. Making him aware of the injury report.
That's unbelievable.
Wow. I'm not
You're
happy.
You think that would be the difference?
Yeah, I don't think that's a major thing this week.
It's just, it's frustrating.
I agree, it's frustrating.
What's
wrong I'll go
with that. Toe. Is it turf toe?
I don't think it's an overly serious thing. He was in the locker room for a long time today talking.
Yeah, I think it's minor, but
and
do
I don't, I'm not,
do you really believe he's the difference?
Not this week.
You want all your weapons. I don't want to be without anything.
Except in the first half with Moss.
But you'll have a running back. This week, it's not going to be the focal point of your offense.
I know, but I think
Sandy Morris is healthy, so this is a week where you can afford to.
I don't think either of them holds a torch to Taylor. He's talking about
Sammy. I agree.
And if we can't run the ball, the Jets are going to blitz Brady all day long, which means a lot of dump offs and screens to Welker and Edelman, and a lot of hurried throws by Brady, or a lot of 2 to 3 tight end sets where a tight end is going to be required to pick up a blitzer. I see this as a close, low scoring game.
Most likely.
That's what I see it as well. The running thing, I understand the fear of not being able to run the ball. I just don't think that your chances of succeeding are that dramatically increased based on who the back is in this game. I think the Jets are a pretty good run defense. We saw them completely shut down Ray Rice Monday night. I'd be surprised if Fred Taylor had a huge game. Now, I think they might pick and choose some runs in passing situations and get some yards. They did that to Baltimore last year in the regular season. If you remember that game, did a great job of mixing in a draw to Sammy Morris, I think, that he took for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. The Patriots do a nice job of sort of throwing some monkey wrenches in with their runs and getting some yards that way.
John in Dallas says, Fred definitely said he would keep Moss out and did agree with me. He did not say keep him out the first half, but he said to keep him out at some point and alternate him in. I did say that.
Rest his legs.
Fred, I am really disappointed you jumped ship on me. Be a man like Eric and stand behind what you say. I said you. He was on to something. Oh,
good job, John. Well done.
All I'm saying is you definitely can't keep him out the whole first half. If that's what John is saying, I disagree.
I just don't know why you would want to keep him out at all.
A little bit.
Intentionally.
Just a little bit. Just rest him because you're going to run his ass off in the second half.
He did say he's tired and worn down. Post-game, he talked about that because they've been working so hard all off-season. He's feeling it.
What if they counter and just don't play Revis?
Then I actually think maybe, okay, you've gotten some value.
then I'm going to say I was wrong about Rex Ryan, and Patriots fans have been right all along.
But
he's the dumbest guy I've ever seen.
Imagine that. Just a thought.
They come out, there's no Moss on the field, and you see Revis jog off.
Revis takes his helmet off, sits in the sideline. I did my job, dog.
No, the contract extension said I cover Moss every
day. Yeah, you see Revis on the Patriot bench just sitting next to him.
Yeah, he just follows him.
I wonder if Revis will slap Belichick's ass this week.
If Moss goes to the locker room with like 5 seconds left, does Revis just go with him?
Probably.
Let's see. Hey, men of PFW and Eric.
He's not here. He'll be by later.
Mike in Pensacola.
Oh, this is the guy that wanted to come on last Friday.
Right.
He wanted to come visit and get to it last Friday.
Good job, Andy.
I was in Foxborough last week for my first Pats game and went to the Patriots Hall of Fame. I was excited when
presented
I was at the hall
Radio
one day on the trip, which was phenomenal, by the way. And who do I see but Hall of Fame John Hanna, 5 feet away from me? Well, he lives there now. He actually moved in. We got him a room, so that's not surprising. He has got to be the nicest, most personable player I have ever met and even signed a picture for me. The whole stadium and Patriot Place is first rate, and the game was outstanding. The crowd was a lot louder than I had previously been told, and the Pats looked great, especially on D. I was very impressed with how the team played, especially our young cornerbacks Devin and Darius, and how they handled the duo of T.O. and Ocho. I was also pleased to see Jimmy and Chung play most of the game at safety with Merriweather subbing in. Just wanted to email in and share what I thought. I live in Florida, and going to that game and meeting great former players like John Hanna and Steve Grogan
presented by Raytheon
is not something you do every day, and I am grateful to have had a chance to go. Wish I could have met the PFW crew, especially Andy, Paul, and Fred. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work. I don't miss a show.
Wow. Reread that one later when Eric's here.
That's a nice email.
Yeah, it is.
That's a great email.
Right, I think you're irrelevant at this point still. Eric's hated. You're irrelevant. You can grow to be hated.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes.
So that's...
Like Denard's fan.
Yeah, so I think for the first time on game day...
Easy.
after the game, they opened up the hall at Patriot Place.
Okay.
And so
Raytheon.
That was nice.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
It's a great place. I've said it before. It is a great, great place. There, it is not overrated. I think everything in there is very cool.
Well,
what's the matter, Shane?
You say
I'm passing
out
because I'm hungry.
Don't you agree, Paul? I mean, the hall, we joke around about a lot of stuff. And
only because of the guy who runs it.
Right. But it is a great take.
It's absolutely fabulous.
He's making the rounds today.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Is he kissing babies today?
Oh, yeah, I was wondering why we weren't shooting our segments again in there or something. Yeah. TV,
I saw him talking to Pete Shepard, and I didn't realize that he even knew him.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
the
radio
guys.
Radio business together. They went to conventions.
Plus,
fired radio guys stick together.
More so. More so, they're both Rhode Island guys. So
that's true.
Fired Rhode Island radio guys.
Yeah. So Doc said we are promoting Pete's new show on the air, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we said it yesterday.
Doc gave me a phone call on the
It's a little late now.
Show,
yeah, he put it on his Facebook page. It's common knowledge.
It's out there.
There you go.
It's out there in geekdom.
Boston Sports Media wrote about it.
Oh, really?
There was a blog in the Projo about it.
How did they find out about it?
Because Pete put it on his Facebook page. People follow Pete.
People follow us, too.
People follow people.
So, the Pete Shepard Show, debuting Tuesday at 4. I can't wait.
What's the opposite of debuting? Concluding?
I think I should have said premiering. Debut can be, like, the second season, you know,
Season premiere.
Series premiere. Series debut.
That's true, yeah. I guess they can be both used interchangeably.
I was just asking when it comes to a screeching halt or something. Yeah. When he flips out and drops 7 F-bombs in a row. And Robert calls and says, yeah, you're
what would be the difference between that and this show, then?
We don't drop them in a row. We don't use a lot of F-bombs.
I haven't heard an F-bomb.
No.
I think
and most of the listeners, most of
the last time I did one was Draft Weekend.
When we weren't on the air, just so you know, so you're close.
And I was well within my rights.
The last F-bomb I dropped was 2001.
And I was actually disappointed
because you said the S-word, too.
Oh, I've said other stuff, but F-bomb.
Oh, I don't know. I just hear it bleeped out elsewhere.
What, GD?
Did you guys see
GD is definitely bleeped out.
The Joe Namath stuff, ripping the Jets?
Yeah.
Braylon Edwards and Slauson, the left guard. They could trade for Mankins because according to... They wanted to win with.
Yeah, we just got on the phone and said, yeah, let's make a deal. You know, Mike is pretty easy going.
We'll take Revis.
Zero.
We'll give you Mankins.
Less than 0%.
Really? Less than 0%.
Oh, yeah.
Less than 0%
chance
that Logan Mankins is traded to the Jets.
Yeah.
I would say so, too. Because they actually think Mankins is really good, I think.
Yeah.
And they would not want to play. You know what I mean? They're not going to give us other team. I think they think more of him than Deion Branch.
Think of how little they thought of Bledsoe when they traded him in the division. I don't think they would have traded Bledsoe to the Jets.
Right. I agree.
Nope.
Maybe Bledsoe. Kind of planting a bum on the other team.
What are you laughing at?
He's trying to get you going.
Yeah, I know, but...
Lyndon writes in, the three-game suspension for being put on the roster for Vincent Jackson, roster exemption list, will follow Jackson unless he wins his appeal. That's it. I think he had to be traded by a certain date for it not to.
So was it a 6-game suspension total then?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Once again, the listeners are way ahead of the curve on us.
Well, they have Google or Bing.
What do you like, Google or Bing?
I've never used Bing once.
Oh.
Chandler Bing?
Bing Crosby.
Is Bing good?
I don't know. I've never used it.
So the tech guys never used it. Why would I use it?
I used it when it first came out. And I said, oh, so what?
Is it the same thing?
Basically, but I think they sort it a little different. It's more, to me, it's more geared toward commerce. So it kind of gives you hints about what you might be looking for.
Speaking of commerce,
I
had a call from my brother-in-law yesterday to inform me that if I have any financial trouble, I have nothing to worry about. Because on eBay, there was a Patriots Super Bowl ring that the current bid was $63,000.
Whose, though?
Didn't say.
Because ours have our name on it.
It was blurred out, but it was a staff ring.
Oh, really?
In the Fall River area.
Ooh.
Who could that be?
Hmm.
That's interesting.
So on eBay,
but don't those usually not sell?
60 something thousand. But I guess I don't know anything about eBay. I've never been on the site. Is there a bidding process?
Or, yeah.
But so the current bid is
I don't think
there,
it's necessarily a verified
that's not
bid.
What it
well,
would
it
sell.
Depends. You can make it buy now, which is just a price and you're just selling it. Or
see,
you can,
I know nothing
or
about
you
it.
Can set a minimum bid, and if it doesn't hit that threshold, then you
No, but you don't sell it.
The bid isn't necessarily guaranteed, right?
Should I bring my Herald?
I've seen things they say, oh, the bid reached this, but then they couldn't verify that bid and it peters out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like Leonard Myers, it was on there and then it didn't reach the bid or it wasn't real and it ended up not getting sold.
Yeah. Easy now.
Eric is just knocking things over.
Jeez.
My God.
One false step, he knocked the headphones down.
No longer will I call you Twinkle Toes because it's terrible on your feet.
Eric wearing a nice denim Black Dog button-down shirt with a black T-shirt underneath. So
we got that going.
Can we get a practice update? Because I'm very much...
You're fine.
Okay.
Can you put your...
put your mic on.
Mic on?
Yeah, let me go
put your mic on, Fred.
He's not ready yet.
No,
he's not ready.
He's only going to participate in a half hour, and he's got to get ready to lead Jackpot. And we're going to take a break now, actually.
I think it's time to take a break.
Andy just says we can take a break now. We just take a break. All right, so Eric just came in. I don't know. He grabbed a cup. I don't know if he's going to do a urine sample or something and ran out of the room. But when he comes back, we'll do the practice report. But for now, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk, when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules.
Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the change, patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but
a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so we're gonna, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're gonna work out. So we get in the elevator, there's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello!
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks,
it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
Oh.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Thank you, Paul in London, for lunch. It came just at the right time because I was about to keel over. So, and as for, who was it, John, who said, you know, I don't like listening to you guys shove food down your throats. Too bad. You know, you work during your lunch hour.
It was Which
Jack.
John?
Some
Jack.
Jack.
Jack who?
I told him to jack off.
Oh.
He said he holds his emails until John's show because he doesn't like hearing them read while we're shoving food down our throats.
So I said we can take care of that and not read another one.
Okay.
And to go back and step inside the playbook.
Or I'll just save this half of the sandwich for the playbook.
Right.
There you go. So, Eric.
So, Fred.
You're back from the hinterlands. What have you got for us?
Good news for the most part. The only two missing players were the same two as yesterday, Terrence Wheatley and Nick Kazier. Everybody else fully padded out there participating. Fred, you're going to like this. A lot of energy out there today. Especially on offense. It was a very
upbeat,
very energetic practice to start today. Upper fields again, where they hold training camp, full pads, same kind of weather as yesterday, sunny with a bunch of, you know, the big puffy clouds, warm. I do that on purpose for Paul because he got so mad last year when I gave the weather report and you thought it was very important for it. So I continue to do that for your benefit.
Okay.
There was one interesting drill, and as you'll notice today, I came in at about 22 past 1. Access started at 1:05. So compared to yesterday, we had a little bit less viewing time, as I know you're keeping track of that as well.
So you didn't see special teams?
No, but we did see the drill in the beginning, a little bit different drill with the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. They had a quarterback lined up in the red zone and throwing like a little bubble screen pass to a wide receiver who then had to run a gauntlet of other wide receivers who had those handheld blocking pads, and they were sort of hitting
that in high school.
Yeah. A little bit different, a little switching it up a little bit, and that was
nice addition to drills this year, I think,
yeah.
Overall.
And the effort by the defenders.
I don't like the barrels, though.
We haven't seen the barrels since training camp, but that doesn't mean they're not doing them. But we just.
I would like to see Moss jump in and out of one of those like he supposedly can.
Oh, really?
I think you can see it online. I haven't YouTubed it yet, but.
Oh, yeah, from that workout video that he's, the documentary, yeah. So the whole point of that drill was to try to knock the ball loose, and they got a couple of them, which incited Moss's ire.
Who fumbled?
I think it was Jenkins. I just saw the one at one point, and people were yelling, but could have been Edelman, too. But good. It was good spirited practice, Fred, for Jets week. Why are you laughing with food falling out of your mouth?
What's so funny, Paul? Me?
As the old Michael Jackson song would say, it's black, it's white. Bum, 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 bum. One of the receivers is black and one of them's white.
No, but they... Never mind.
He's mad already. You can't make fun of him for anything.
So
just let the record show, all I did was laugh. I didn't say a word.
So the big thing you got out of today's practice is very upbeat.
When they go into the gauntlet, they're surrounded by a bunch of players. All I saw was the one.
He's still
and then
defending
he disappeared.
Himself.
So, very upbeat practice, especially on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
No new numbers, so it doesn't look like they've made any transactions yet. As
Vrabel's
far as
out there practicing,
yes, he
so
is
healthy. He could be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there haven't been any.
Still skinny. I haven't seen him practice.
Oh, very skinny.
Yeah.
Disproportionately so.
I think that's just the way he is. He's never going to change that.
No.
Well, if he got on your program, maybe.
Okay. So that's cool. Anything else back to the show?
You're all set.
Anything else that Mike Reese would know?
Mike wasn't with me today.
Mike Rodak was holding down the fort.
Mike Rodak was holding down the fort, yeah.
John in Dallas says, I have a clue for you on the Pats Super Bowl ring for sale. It's from the Pats' first Super Bowl victory,
and it appears to be owned by a man who is roughly 35 to 45 years of age with a 8.5 to 9 inch hand size. The man is also Caucasian. It appears the man also owns a very ugly diamond-studded, diamond-etched gold bracelet. The man's last name is estimated at 7 to 9 letters. Well, see, here's the thing. The gold bracelet kind of clues me off. This might have already been fenced, or not fenced, but sold to some dealer, and that's the dealer now trying to sell it. So this could be secondhand, is what I'm saying.
Maybe because it's the one from Pawn Stars.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's Pawn.
Yes, Star.
All right, so
a lot of emails.
No, I'm just thinking we got to get to some of the.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. Don't worry.
You don't want to get to the picks?
No, not yet.
We got
yet.
Time. We got plenty
keep
of time.
Keep reading emails.
All right, TG and NJ, keep reading emails so you can eat.
Yep, exactly.
Oh my
Plus
God!
We need Phil to get the spreads for the games too.
Oh my God! Says TG and NJ, you guys don't know what Bing is. You've never used eBay. What do you guys do all day?
I know what Bing is. I just never used it.
Fred, I like the commercials for Bing.
And I've used
the Spanish
eBay.
Guy who yeah. he has the.
I used eBay last year.
Remember when
I
bought that Bo Jackson jersey and there was like a preseason game? I was bidding on it all night long to win.
Fred, for someone who is supposed to be in charge of new media, it's surprising you and your crew aren't more tech savvy. Well, you are putting out a paper. I guess that explains it.
And a radio show, and a podcast, and 17 TV shows.
Here's a little...
I just didn't know that if you didn't like to sell stuff in auctions online, it meant you weren't tech savvy. So yeah. Fred's not a big eBay guy, so that means he's not tech savvy? No,
I've
not
used it, so.
I'm not tech savvy. I mean, I think we all know that.
I'm not tech savvy.
I can barely get my computer on.
I've used eBay. I've used Craigslist. I've never used Bing because Google works for me. I'm a creature of habit. I
you
don't
have
break
every new
habit.
Tech thing that comes out before it comes out.
But I'm not savvy about it.
Yes, you are.
I agree.
All right. Here's a Would You Rather New York Jets edition game.
I like it.
From Mike in Raleigh. Let's see. One, would you rather have LT or Sammy Morris as your backup running back?
LT.
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 Yeah.
Thank you.
Would you rather have Brandon Tate or Braylon Edwards at receiver?
Braylon Edwards.
When you factor in the returns, Edwards.
That's what I'm factoring in.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Tate.
No, he said at receiver.
Well, if you lose him at receiver, you don't get him as a returner.
That's not how this game works. It's a hypothetical. I can play the hypothetical any
would
way
you,
I choose.
Would you rather go to the new Meadowlands Stadium or the new Cowboys Stadium?
Cowboys.
Well, we've already been to New Meadowlands, so yeah.
And I already know it sucks.
Would you rather see Rex Ryan have a Moss-esque meltdown at the end of a close game or see G4 score 3 TDs in a blowout?
Rex Ryan.
3 TDs.
3 TDs.
Rex Ryan. I want to see him cry again.
I wouldn't mind seeing the 3 TDs for Gronkowski.
Sure. Finally, would you rather see Eric
Gronkowski picked against him?
Would you rather see Eric wearing a Jets boxers or a Patriots thong?
Oh.
Don't answer this question, please. Why do you even read this crap?
I get on a roll sometimes, and I can't stop myself.
I'll stop you.
I think it's going to be a tough game this week, if only because the Jets will be desperate. I think this will be a defensive struggle with the Patriots pulling off a 13-10 victory. I think the key for the Patriots will be to keep time of possession strongly in their favor. Once the Jets' defense is on the field for a while, the Patriots should find some holes. The Jets' offense will be inept enough for the Patriots to stop them regularly.
If that happens... Tick, tick, tick.
I will say,
to that
I will say
to
thing
York.
One.
Oh, yeah.
You know, say what you will about Flacco, but to convert all the third downs that he did, and I know he had a lot of help with the penalties. That's pretty impressive against that Jets defense.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback.
Flacco was fine.
He's
I
a
didn't
good quarterback.
Think he was as bad as some people
I
tried
said
to
that.
Make it out to be.
I said it Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's the kind of conversion you're going to need to beat the Jets.
Mm-hmm. I saw some of those throws to Bolden, the throw to Heap in the end. I saw like not just good throws. Great throws.
I mean, he missed some really – that first play that you talked about already today, those throw over McLean's head was just ridiculous. But for the most part, under a lot of pressure, backed up inside his own 10 constantly in the second half, I thought he made some big plays.
We've been fortunate. We've been able to see Flacco each year now that he's been in the league, and I can see a difference in his development, his growth.
And you're
going to
see those throws, the occasional bad throw.
Yeah,
until
of course.
Until and if he becomes Breeze, Manning, Brady, I mean, he's in that next tier right now. Not missing the chances is when you really kind of jump into that Right. Top echelon.
Let's see. Who is this?
And, of course, win a Super Bowl. Maybe.
Andrew writes in.
According to you, Roethlisberger's got a couple, and you still don't put him there.
Wow. Here we are, Jets week.
Despite him.
My buddy from Queens has been blowing up my inbox and text messages with all sorts of BS about how Revis the holdout is going to come out and hit Moss from the start. I'm tired of hearing it and would love to see Moss come out and get 100 yards and a TD on Revis just to shut the fans up, which we all know is physically impossible, but we can hope. To beat the Jets, all the Pats need to do is put Eric in a wig holding a cheeseburger on the sideline. The whole team won't know what to do. Sanchez,
Eric in a wig. I didn't really get it at first. He gets caught up, and he can't stop.
The whole team.
You have all these emails, and you got to read this stupidity.
Sanchez will at least have a consistent target, and Rex Ryan can't get his mind off a snack. Depending on how poorly the Jets are doing, I would fear for Eric's safety with Ryan being hungry. In honor of it being Jets week, I'll ask that everyone says it with me, J-E-T-S, suck, suck, suck. There you go. I don't think you have any problem with that. Let's see. Todd in Nova Scotia. Andy, you're wrong. We all know Eric won't be by later, but we do know he won't be straight in. Stupid question with all the Moss talk.
You actually missed. There was one that took. What was the one that you read earlier that I wanted you to reread when Eric was here?
The one hating on me and Eric.
No, he wanted to meet all of us.
The guy who was very complimentary of everything and said he was disappointed that he didn't get to meet Andy, Paul, and Fred.
Stupid question, says Todd.
Come on, respond. Do something.
Welker wants a new deal as well. What would you give him and how long? That's the extension that would scare me more.
Yep, I agree. I wouldn't be looking to extend him.
Really?
I think he knows right now that it's probably not going to be something that's going to happen for him until he
7, 8, 9, 10
proves for the whole season
5-year
that he's
deal,
over
so
this
yes.
thing.
Next year is his last year? Yeah, I'd be waiting till he makes a stink.
Yeah.
I'd make him force my hand. I'm not offering up any extension for him. Sorry. Knee injury, a lot of catches, a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Is he making a stink already?
Irreplaceable.
Do you think?
No.
No.
Because I think he's smart enough to do it quietly.
Yeah. Well, but I don't think he is.
Or is that not a stink?
Can you make a quiet stink?
I'm asking you.
Bill, I want a new deal. No, when you walk away, is that a stink?
Yeah, because you're. Yeah, you can.
I mean, a stink is when
it
affects
something.
That's
not a stink.
Right. He had a chance. The first question of his press conference, how you feel about your contract after Moss came up.
But you can do a private stink.
No, of course you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you go to the crafts all I've seen and say, I want a new contract?
Mark that tape.
All I've
You can do a private stink.
All I've seen him do is work harder than anyone to get back from injury and everything. Like,
right. But
I don't see a stink, any
but,
stink.
But
any
what
sign
about
of stink?
I didn't say that I saw any signs of a stink. I said, could he be doing it quietly? And the report that, whether it was accurate or not, was part of the motivation was because he wants a contract.
Sure.
That he did all that stuff in the offseason. So maybe he is, or he has his representatives telling the Crafts or telling Belichick, I want a new deal. I don't know.
I've seen no sign of what I would consider a stink.
I haven't either. That's why I asked,
so it's not
could
a
it
stink.
Be a quiet one?
No, because then it's not a stink.
Okay. That's why I asked you.
I think he,
silent is not deadly in this case.
I think he wanted to come back, play this full season, and then next offseason... maybe try to address it. Once he's proven everything out.
And once the stink hits, we'll address it.
But does he pass the sniff test?
I'm not sure he does. Using our real sniff test, I mean, we have to see, A, what he is this year. Is he all the way back? Not just on the field, but is he the same guy? Paul has his doubts.
Maybe that random odor.
You are unbelievable.
That random.
Well, I believe he said, 8 yards a catch or whatever in the first game? Paul says the old Welker's above that, so we'll see how that plays out.
And the old Welker was just loose change.
And that's right, so Paul wouldn't do it at all.
I said on Sunday it wasn't exactly the old Welker. I didn't say anything about doubts moving forward.
Well, the word most associated with you was doubts when it comes to us.
Loose change might be the word most
and
associated with
nice
you.
Nice second aspect of that in my mind. Everybody said, oh, we got the next Wes Welker and Julian Edelman. Oh, we'll just put him right in. He'll put Welker out to pasture. Well, can Edelman be healthy? Can he be the next Wes Welker? Or does he play 4 games a year?
This is now, what, the third injury he's had in less than...
Broken arm, a knee, and foot, or ankle, whatever.
I mean, this one obviously couldn't have been that serious because he's already suited. But
wasn't a broken arm. Was it? Wasn't a rotator cuff?
No, he broke an arm.
Broken arm.
Forearm. Yeah.
So, that's part of this.
Yeah. I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
This latest Edelman injury was probably at least a little significant. He missed the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. The timing was good for him because, it, you know.
He talked today. You guys are sure he mentioned that, yep. Right? He'll be on today in the locker room.
Fred actually wants to bench
Ross. He's another one growing his hair
around.
Yeah, because his locker's right next to number 12's. So he's imitating him.
He's going with the flow.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's a terrible look for all.
It's a terrible look for anybody.
It's in.
Get your damn haircut.
It's awful.
Guys, that's they call it flow. Yeah,
it's,
you get your flow
called bad.
What does that mean?
That's what they call flow.
Who's they?
In lacrosse, they call it bro flow.
He's hair savvy.
Bro flow?
Yeah.
That sounds gay.
Well.
What are you letting your son hang out with?
All right, listen. It's time we got about 18 minutes, so we have to do the picks. We have to hurry.
About 18 minutes.
Because there's no
it's
bye
week. Like Peyton Manning threw for over 433 yards.
There's no bye week this week.
No, there's not in week two.
Eric was disappointed.
If Fred
that's
can weak. Say
that's
you'll
a
be
week
bye out. Later.
No, he can't say it.
And you shouldn't listen when you're not.
All right. That music means
hate you guys.
Time to go around the NFL. It's Thursday. Andy just snarfed. All right,
that's
Paul.
What you gonna do.
How did we do last week?
Well, Freddie, you were in mid-season form last week.
Really?
Where did he go? 12-4? No. No.
Freddie
won the week. The overall picks tied with Eric at 10-6. Andy,
Fred not happy.
Andy went 8-8.
That's how you should start here.
Paul? Paul should not have begun wagering. Paul went 5-11.
Oh my God, that's like your worst
what the hell
week
happened?
Ever.
I took some shots. What are you gonna do? I took a shot.
Apparently, not take shots.
With the spread, however,
you've been on too many haves.
I think this is ridiculously solid by Fred. Week one, we always talk about you don't really know what you don't know yet. 11
unknown
two,
unknowns
and three.
11,
11,
two,
two
and, three,
and
pushes.
Three with the spread for
wow.
Fred Kirsch.
I say he's peaked.
Followed by Andy at 7-6-3.
Oh,
solid.
Boy, that's
solid.
Not good.
Closely behind is Eric at 6-7-3.
And taking it up, I mean.
4-9-3.
Well, wow. Things are going to be back to normal this year. The Patriots are back on top, and Fred's winning the picks.
I just did this just to make it.
16 weeks to go. He's already.
Just to make it more obvious when Fred can't compete. I spotted you a significant edge.
A little side note. Remember when I joked that they used to win Super Bowls when Bill did his
seven
press conferences?
Games I gave him.
In the morning and didn't screw us on the radio show. They also used to win Super Bowls when they played dominoes and games in the middle. When was the last time you saw somebody sitting at the table?
There was no,
they're not
yeah,
doing that
right.
anymore?
There hasn't been any dominoes. There was a jersey out on the table for somebody to autograph.
Well, who led that? Because that's always...
That's a Vrabel.
Sante
thing.
Samuel.
Yeah.
Vrabel.
Yeah.
Vrabel.
Those guys are gone.
Colvin. Light was in on it. Mankins.
Mankin.
Oh.
Oh. Only one of those guys
Ooh.
Is still here.
They used to play there was dominoes and there was that other thing with the
backgammon.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of guys played. I think Vrabel was the ringleader of that, though.
Oh, so they traded him because of it.
I think, though, they set that table up out back.
Steakhouse?
Where?
What?
You probably
they set it up at the steakhouse.
No, I think they have...
I will be taking my appetite to the Outback Steakhouse.
They got stuff in the back, game stuff.
In the back where?
Of the... In back behind the locker room.
That's the training room.
So that's why there's no players in the locer room anymore? They're playing games?
That's right.
Okay,
I think
we should probably stop talking now.
This is again where
that's
we
what I said. Probably something you shouldn't be putting on
Andy?
The
Andy.
No more talking.
All right, let's get going because we have to hurry.
Now it's only down to 60.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
There's no bye week this week. All right, we'll start off, Paul.
1 minute for each game. I don't know how we're gonna do it.
Is this okay if we start off with Buffalo at Green Bay?
Only because I didn't record the games this week. I am going off of different spreads. That
it's always good to have different spreads.
That Phil printed.
Variety
is the spice of life, right.
Eric would go
Buffalo
for just one spread.
At Green Bay, fine. Andy. Packers by 13.
Woo. I'll take the Packers. I'll lay Ooh. The points. They're the better football team. Buffalo Bills didn't get a lot done last week in their loss to the Dolphins. I was perusing the statistics. C.J. Spiller, my big play guy, was going to lead them to victory. I believe he had 7-for-6 or something of that nature.
And Posluszny's out again.
Posluszny's
yeah,
out, who is the middle of their defense. I think the Packers roll in this one.
I do, too. I think they're the much better team. It's a lot of points, but I'll give them away. I'll take Green Bay both times.
I will take Green Bay as well. Buffalo, I don't know where they're going to get the offense from. So the point spread doesn't really concern
me. Yeah, they look like they played decent defense last week, but it was the Dolphins, and we don't know what they are. So I'm going to go with Green Bay both ways as well. Miami travels to Minnesota.
Hey. Interesting.
Hold on here. Miami at Minnesota. Where's that on this list here? Way down. 5.5. Vikings by 5.5.
5.5. I'll take the Vikings, lay the points. The home team is the better team. It's always a good recipe for win.
Yeah, I have to go with the overrated quarterback, even though...
Roethlisberger's not playing.
Even though Miami has an overrated quarterback as well. I'm going with...
Your list is expanding of
really
overrated
is.
Quarterbacks.
Minnesota's at home. They are the better team overall, so I'll take them and give the points away.
I will take Minnesota to win the game. However, I will take the points. I think Miami's defense is a little bit better. I think the Vikings aren't ready to score a lot of points yet with Brett Favre. I'll take the points, 5.5. I'll take a shot.
Okay.
This is one of those weird games where he could throw for like 390 yards and 4 TDs. And
I hope he does.
And you'll be like
suicidal. There'll be nothing worse than about
that. Yeah, but you get consolation in the fact that Miami lost. It's the division game.
Yeah.
Division opponent.
Yeah, he cares about that.
He doesn't think the Patriots are competitive for the division
That's
anymore.
True.
So.
That's true. Did you already go, Paul?
I did.
I will go with Minnesota covering.
That's why
we're
winning an extra few minutes.
Okay. Kansas City goes to Cleveland. Kansas City coming up a big win over the Chargers, and they go to Cleveland. Can the momentum carry?
The Browns
dog pound
favored
the dogs.
By two.
This is an ugly
Who
game.
Who by two? Browns by two?
Two ugly teams.
Who play terribly.
With a lot of ties to the Patriots. Yeah. Just disgusting. I'll just go with Matt Castle. Because I like him.
This is one of those tough games where you're going to fall into the trap. I'm going to fall into the trap of saying, oh, Kansas City beat a good team in week one. The Browns didn't look so good losing to Tampa Bay. But I'm still going to fall into the trap. I think Kansas City will be better. Matt Castle will have a better week this week, and the Kansas City will win outright.
Yeah, I'm going to fall into the opposite trap of saying that I think Cleveland probably should have won their game. Kansas City probably should have lost its game. Cleveland at home. I don't know why. I think both of these teams aren't very good. I'll take
Cleveland. Home status, do we know?
I'll take Cleveland.
Yeah,
I'm with Paul. He's got an ankle.
I'm going to take Cleveland
he's
as
got
well.
Two of them, doesn't he?
Only one of them's hurt, though.
When was the last time Romeo Crennel lost as a defensive coordinator?
No,
I don't
been
know.
A while. Dallas coming off a game they should have. Dallas coming off a game they should have won. Chicago coming off a game they should have lost.
Oh,
it's
I'm
like
sorry.
Saying, when what did Bill this? Lose as a defensive coordinator?
Chicago goes to
Chicago
Dallas.
Chicago at Dallas.
Andy.
I don't have the number.
Chicago at Dallas is 7.5, Cowboys.
I'll take the Cowboys to win and cover. Mm. Bears should have lost to the Lions. Cowboys got to get it going at some point. They're like the Jets. I didn't think they can weather 2-3 week losing streak to open the season. The way they're built up, their ownership, their whole style. I'll say they'll get it done, better team.
I'll take Dallas to win at home. Something tells me, though, that Chicago's going to keep it close, so I'll take those points.
I'll take Dallas. I'm going to take Dallas, and I'm going to give the points because of that. I think Cutler on the road gets frazzled. I think
plus, if he's
Cowboys have to win it.
That means he's trying to make plays late, and there's always the chance he just throws that pick six that swings the spread.
Right. I'm going to go with Dallas both ways. Arizona at Atlanta.
Arizona at Atlanta. I don't have that one.
No?
Atlanta by 6.5.
I'll take Atlanta. Win and cover. Better all-around team. Not sold on Arizona, the Derek Anderson era. We'll call it an error in coaching judgment. I'm okay with parting ways with Matt Leinart. Not okay with having Derek Anderson as my... Next
your go-to
line.
Guy?
Yeah. Stinky.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Atlanta in week one. They really got stifled by Pittsburgh. But they're at home. They're the
Belichick
better team.
Gave out the blueprint preseason.
Maybe.
Pre-season.
Maybe, yeah. So I'll take
and
Atlanta
Mike Smith
to win and cover nicely.
I am going to take Atlanta as well. I am not very impressed with Derek Anderson, as Andy said. And I think Atlanta just ran into a very good defense at home. And that Steelers defense has won games for that team in the past. That's not out of their element to go out and win a game without any offense, and they did it. So I'll take Atlanta.
I'll take Atlanta, too, but I'm going to take the points. So I'll split it down the middle.
Aligning yourself with the hatted one.
Tampa Bay travels to Carolina in a game nobody cares about.
Carolina by 3.5.
I'll take Carolina to run the ball. I think the Bucs are a joke of a team. I think they may have maxed out their win total on the season. I have no respect for the coach, the GM, the talent. So I'll go with the Panthers to run the ball to victory at home.
Yeah, I like the home team in this one. I think they'll win by comfortably more than
three. I wish I didn't hate Matt Moore so much.
I don't mind Matt Moore, and I think everything you said about Tampa is
still wearing that
1,000% on.
I think so.
Hate guys that wear.
I think Carolina rolls.
And you get concussed.
I'm with Paul. Carolina all the way.
Yeah, that's why I don't know.
Philadelphia goes to Detroit. Who will quarterback for Philadelphia?
Eagles are a road favorite by 6.
Who's quarterback?
And who will quarterback for Detroit too?
Right.
It's definitely Sean Hill in Detroit.
It is.
Hibbly.
Oh, it's a really ugly game.
Yeah, the Michael Vick versus Sean Hill.
What's the spread here, Paul?
6. Eagles by 6.
Eagles by 6. I'll say Vegas knows what they're talking about, so I'll take the Eagles to win the game.
You falling into the trap of the close game with the Bears?
And I'll take the points.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the better quarterback, backup quarterback in this case, so I'll take Philly, and I think they'll win by at least a touchdown, so I'll get those points away.
I'm with Eric. I'm going to lay the points. Not sure why. I have no real reason to be encouraged by Philadelphia. I thought they got behind big, much like Cincinnati here, window dressing to me. Even though they had that game closer, they had an opportunity to tie the game. I don't think that he will put that kind of production up if he's starting the game as he said he would. But I will take the Eagles.
I'll take the Eagles as well. Baltimore goes to Cincinnati.
Cincinnati is actually a home dog in their home opener.
What up, dog?
Getting 2.
I'll take the Ravens to win and cover.
Yep.
Better overall team. Had a huge, huge challenge to open the season. I think with the Jets defense
on.
Will explode in this one. And the Bengals, it's already turning into a disappointing season. Debacle. T.O. Coach will address that while it's going down the wrong road.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a race to who implodes first, the Jets or the Bengals. And I think the Bengals have a good head start right now
and the Ravens
after
and
week
Patriots
one. So I'll take Baltimore to win comfortably, 10 points or more.
I'll tell you what. I think that those AFC North teams are pretty sick of hearing all offseason how the Bengals were 6-0 in the division last year. I think Baltimore lays a whooping on the
those
road.
Carson Palmer sucks.
Plus, you know, you come off a game playing the Jets and their stifling defense, and then you get to play the Bengals, and it's like the noose has been taken off your neck. I think Flacco has a big game. I think Baltimore rolls. Pittsburgh at Tennessee.
Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Titans by 5.
Titans by 5. Oh, that's right. Pittsburgh still doesn't have its overrated quarterback.
That's
correct. I don't think Pittsburgh can do again what they did last week and really shut down an opposition and win without enough offense. I think Tennessee wins this game at home. Vince Young will make enough plays. Chris Johnson got off to a nice start. It won't be pretty necessarily, but the Titans will win this. Physical.
I think they'll win. I think they'll win by more than 5 at home. I think they're going to get a little bit of false confidence early on in the season, getting wins like this, but I think down the road that'll help.
Better than what happened last year.
It's a lot better than what happened last year. So I'll take Tennessee both ways, Paul.
I am going to take Tennessee, but I'll take the points again.
Mendenhall.
Yeah, I think Tennessee is tough. I mean, I think Pittsburgh is tough. I think that they're used to playing this style. Like, if we can do what the Jets did, like Monday night, we don't have much offense. We know going in that's going to be the case. We got to somehow limit the points. I think they'll be tough in the red zone. Be a field goal game. I think Tennessee will win it, but I think it'll be close.
It's the battle of the Vince Youngs. Vince Young and I think Dennis Dixon is a poor man's.
You guys both like Tennessee both ways?
I do. I do too. Let's see. Seattle, this is a big, it used to be a big AFC West game. Not anymore.
12 years ago when the Seahawks were in the AFC.
It's just a West game. Seattle at Denver.
Broncos by 3.5.
Battle of former Patriots coaches here. Pete Carroll takes on Josh McDaniels. I'm not buying yet the Pete Carroll error. Error?
You're calling that an error too?
Yeah, lots of errors.
So I would
go with my guy Josh McDaniels at home. He can ill afford to open the year 0-2, and he's got Lawrence Maroney. What else could he want?
I am not
running
totally
back.
Oh, wow.
Not totally sold on Seattle just yet either, but in this game I am because I just don't like Denver and what they're doing over there. So I think we get a road win for the Seahawks.
I like Denver big in this game. I don't think Denver's very good, however. I just think Seattle is not good at all, and on the road, I don't give it much of a shot.
You're going to be pumped and jacked.
Pete Carroll wins this game. Afterwards, he says to Josh McDaniels, this is how you celebrate. and he has his whole team reenact an episode of Glee.
Good story. Next game.
What are we doing? PFW predictions for the first...
Seahawks win.
I don't know what Glee is. I don't watch
That's that show on TV.
No, I can't. Apparently you watch it.
I
you know what they say about people who watch Glee.
I've never actually seen it. They sing and they dance, right?
They sing and they dance.
It's on that television there?
Singing lessons. Did you look at,
and I had them all.
St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that story.
St. Louis at Oakland.
John's like, really? Is this my lead-in? John's wondering why he hasn't gotten that ratings bonus.
Speaking of those, can we...
can a brother get a ratings check?
Seattle at Oakland.
Seattle at Oakland.
See, the problem in this show...
Well, that's, it's St. Louis.
St. Louis.
The problem in Seattle had a split squad Sunday.
When it comes to bonus, we can't count out of market, and market is just Foxborough, so...
Market is the world.
No, the web is ours.
Anyway.
St. Louis at Oakland is...
Right? Isn't that Shaq's thing? Twism? The world is mine?
Yes.
Oh, is that before or after we try to set that guy up for...
You really believe that?
I don't know.
I don't.
I just found it awfully odd that none of the local stations were reporting it yesterday.
Why would Shaq set up this guy? For what?
I don't know. Why do you throw...
What would he have to gain?
I don't know.
Thank you.
We got to hurry.
Got to hurry.
Raiders by 3.5.
Over the Samchise?
Yes.
No freaking way. Again, the Samchise gets it done on the road.
How dare they?
Outright. But I'll take the points too, obviously.
I agree with you. I think the Rams are going to win this game on the road. They're a better team.
Did you say 8.5?
Not much
three
better.
And a half.
But with,
you know what the problem is with the Raiders?
What makes them better is
they have playmakers in offense now. Like, their playmakers don't make plays. Darren McFadden stinks. Darius Hayward Bay stinks. Jason Campbell's never made a play in his life. He's captain checking.
Awful. Your boy McFadden had a good game.
He stinks.
Yeah.
What did he have? 34 yards? 35?
I'll go with Sam Chice.
He had 100.
Oh. First
90-something. 95 or something like that.
Oh, so not 100.
And then he had catches, too, and caught a touchdown. Anyway, I will take the Raiders for the second and final time this season.
Okay, this is
because
it.
When they lose this game, I will not be picking the Raiders again.
Yeah, I can't pick the Raiders. Going with St. Louis.
Yeah, the Samchise 2-0, baby.
Houston goes to
Fred,
one.
They lost Tampa Bay and Carolina. Who did you
take?
1-1,
baby. I took Carolina all the way. Houston at Washington. Redskins, big game, big win over the Cowboys. They get two games at home, huh? Houston at Washington.
Washington is getting 3 at home to the Texans.
Yeah, they
stink. There were a lot of very unimpressive games in that. That was a terrible week one slate of games.
Yes.
You know what?
And I think it'll continue to be terrible because when you trade for a franchise quarterback who's the most overrated quarterback in franchise history for another team, it's a bad move. Terrible. Stinks. And there will be a Texas team in the Super Bowl this year. I'm starting to think it could be the
Texans.
Texans. How much will that hurt, Jerry?
Ooh. Oh, snap.
Wow.
Houston wins. I'm going with Houston to win as well. I don't like what Shanahan's got so far over there.
Everybody hates him too.
Yeah,
I just read a poll where he's like the most hated, least want to
Captain
play for.
Queeg.
Shanahan. Captain who?
Queeg.
I think that's Tom Coughlin.
That's the Kane Mutiny.
What?
You know, the strawberries. Humphrey Bogart.
I always think of Tom Coughlin. Like, what are they saying about me now?
We were talking about Queequeg and Moby Dick.
You know what I mean?
Because of the tan, he was the Indian guy.
Just because you know,
what is this, English 101?
Paranoid? What is it?
You started it.
Oh, you're bringing them all the strawberries, whatever you're doing.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you?
Right.
You know I don't speak
right,
Spanish.
Right, Josh?
Nice, English, please.
I'm just
here
to
entertain. Yeah, we really should expand this segment.
I just want to step inside the playbook and entertain John Rook. I'm going with Houston as well.
Burnt orange on today, right? Is that burnt orange? Is that what they call it?
That's the Tennessee
That's
orange.
That's Tennessee
this
orange.
This is actually Tennessee orange today.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't have a burnt orange shirt except for one that has a Longhorn logo on it.
You
I don't want to be a homer, so, you know.
You are
I'm sorry, what's that now?
You're not a homer.
That's homer.
It's worked for Fred.
Where are we?
Freddie, I got Houston. No problem.
Yeah, me too. Me too, Houston. Let's see. We'll skip over our game.
We're actually not going to pick that this week.
And
you know what's really impressive? The way that Fred can just mentally skip past the Patriots every week. On the list.
And we'll go to Jacksonville at San Diego.
Jacksonville is on the road getting 7 points.
Jacksonville.
Even Flip LaChance picked this game.
Will need more than 7 points. The Chargers will win and cover. They will be looking to bounce back from week one where they did not have any fun. And the Jaguars will not be 2-0 in any league I watch.
No. I agree.
That was one of those sentences I didn't know where it was ending, Paul, when I started.
Aren't they all like that with you?
Seems that way lately.
I'm taking the Chargers, too, with a slight concern of another one of those 1-3 starts.
Right.
you know, out of nowhere. For
that's
them.
Why I'm splitting the difference, and I'm going to take the points, but Chargers will win. We go to Sunday night, and the Giants are traveling to the Colts.
The Manning Bowl. Everybody's so excited.
Wouldn't it be something if the Colts started out
0-2? Talking about the Colts and Giants now, not the Chargers anymore.
So Giants at the Colts.
Colts by 5.5.
Bob Sanders, speaking of steroids, I'm just saying.
Out.
Multiple biceps.
G-Man!
I'm going to go with the Colts at home. You know, they start every year 13-0. I find it hard to believe they're going to start this year 0-2. I think they'll get it done. I think Manning will beat Manning.
I do, too. I like the Colts at home bouncing back from week one. Still don't think they're going to be a 13-3 kind of team.
Oh God, no!
But I think they're
Colts?
Better than the yeah.
I do.
I don't think they're. I think they're better than the Giants though, and they're at least 5 points better. So I'll take them both ways.
Are they calling this the Oreo Cookie Bowl?
Are they?
No, they're calling it the Manning Bowl.
Not to be confused with
double
the,
stuff.
The venue in Lynn.
The what?
The football venue in
the
Lynn,
Manning
Mass.
Bowl. That's right.
I will take the Colts.
I'm going to take the Colts as well, although I'll be rooting like hell for the Giants. Monday
like
night.
I can't keep track of his hatreds.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, come on. You know I hate the Colts.
I do. I know you hate the Giants, too.
The
I can't keep
track.
No, I never said I hate the Giants. Oh. I don't hate the Giants.
For what they did to you and your team?
They didn't do that. We did it. We did it.
Oh, so they didn't win the game. We lost the game?
Yes.
Okay. So we've never lost.
That is kind of true.
Exactly,
we did kind of lose.
Exactly
I have no.
We,
I have
what we hated most. Suck. About I have, the Patriots from 01 to 04.
I have no ill will.
Every
to the
team
Giants.
That we beat,
I just don't.
It wasn't
better
it wasn't,
team.
They weren't better.
Day.
I just don't have any ill will to the Giants.
New Orleans at San Francisco, Andy. Niners getting 5.5.
Well, in this battle of
in
Super
a former
Bowl favorites,
NFC
I mean,
West matchup.
We both decided we were going to take shots at Brett there at the same time. What's the spread?
5.5.
Our PR guy was right. The Niners can't win with Aaron Smith at quarterback. I don't care how good the defense is.
Or Alex.
Alex, I mean, you know, Aaron's and Sulkins and Smith's, and they're all together.
So you got New Orleans.
I'll take New Orleans.
I'll take New Orleans, too. This kind of has the feeling of a trap game, though, again, where the Niners were horrible in week one. The Saints had a good win in week one. But I'm going to fall into it, and I'm going to take New Orleans to win both ways.
But the Saints actually had a bad win.
Well, they
I
did.
They're going to score a lot of points most weeks.
I do, too.
They didn't. They will.
I'm going to take the Saints, but I'm not ready to completely give up on the Niners yet. I don't
your
think
Super Bowl pick, Freddie.
They're not as good as New
well,
Orleans.
Well, now
he That's
says he should have picked Seattle to win the Super Bowl.
But he didn't.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have picked Seattle either.
You know, everybody's saying that New Orleans isn't going to repeat, and it's going to be because they lose games like this. I think San Francisco wins this game.
So in a different direction. That's why he was 11 and whatever it was.
All right, going
11,
back.
2-3.
Now I have the mental capacity to go back.
It's very impressive.
To our game, which is a Sunday at 4:15 game, just in case anyone wants to set
Eastern
their
Standard
clock.
Time.
Right. New England goes to the new Meadowlands Stadium. This time it has green on it instead of blue. They're going to change it up for the Jets.
Yes.
So what do we got, Paul?
What's still be a boring stadium.
Patriots by 3.
Patriots by 3. Why Patriots. Are the Patriots being favored?
I don't know.
Wow.
Won.
Who is this man and what has he done?
No,
what have you done with our host?
All this talk in New York and the Patriots are still favored?
Because
have you not been listening to this week?
They
all
made
the, talk?
The cover of Sports Illustrated yet again this week, Fred.
Oh, yes, with Moss and Brady. Both
Brady
on
and Moss on the cover.
I thought that was a jinx.
Didn't you think that was
kind
of odd?
People are falling into the trap, though, and then this potential for jinxdom.
I thought it was an odd
jinxdom?
Photo. Jinxdom. But anyway.
You get the keys to the jinxdom?
This week, you can't find anybody who thinks the Jets are going to win more than 3 games this year.
I know. It's unbelievable.
And you can't find anybody who thinks the Patriots aren't going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
I'm here.
I'm very. I think the spread is very much in line. Don't you think the spread's in line with the way people are thinking right now?
Yeah, but that doesn't always happen. I mean, we just wipe out. No, but generally, public and talk radio and all that doesn't always fall in line with what.
No,
Vegas,
it won't
the guys
happen
who,
in the game. Yeah,
you know, the guys who.
But that's where the money. But that's where the money goes.
And the final score's 14-9.
But that's where the money goes. Everybody thinks the Patriots are going to kill them.
I don't know where that comes from, honestly. I really don't. And I still think the Jets have a great defense. I think we saw that. And it'll be a great battle between those two units. But
right.
I'm going to go with the home team. You know,
and
he's
shooting from the hip. Over
I don't see how Mark Sanchez.
Say like that. He's hip to that.
I don't see how Mark Sanchez and that offense can be as bad as they were on opening night. Sean Green is better than what he was that night. I think they'll do enough. I think you're going to see a game that is very competitive, very physical, and I'm going to say the Jets win by 4.
I also think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think the New England's strength on offense is going to be neutralized by the Jets' strength on defense. It's going to come down to which weakness is stronger, and I think Andy's right that Sanchez is going to be a little bit better than he was last week. Not a whole lot,
yeah,
but just enough, and I think the Jets win by 6.
I have gone back and forth all week on this game. I'm going to take the Jets only because of the home field and desperation factor. I think that the teams are pretty even. But based on what you saw in week one, I can't imagine that the Jets are that bad.
Yeah.
And if they play like that again, the Patriots will, I think, win handily, but I don't think it will happen.
Yeah.
And if they are that bad, the implosion begins
17, 13, you know, 21, 17, a game like that. Low scoring, tight
defensive
game.
I say the same thing, Paul. 17, 13, but I'm going to pick the Patriots.
Of course you will. And I have no problem with that.
Yeah. No, but listen,
one thing I think
I'm not making fun of
Fred. I have very little faith still in the Jets offense and the Patriots defense.
Yeah.
So to me, I think they're both going to be roller coasters, and they're both due to go the other way on the roller coaster for this week.
And
I just go back and forth all year long.
You know, the thing that's working on the Patriots side in that is they're playing against a unit that can't move out of its own way.
Right.
And even if the Patriots defense takes a big step back this week, probably not going to have to pay for it all that much.
But Sean Green, I expect him to do something. I think he's
gotta,
a pretty good player.
He's got to be able to run the football better than he did last
year. There's a difference between 1,400 yards and sucking, not looking like you belong.
And
sucked up.
And like
this
I
week.
Said, like
as John Rook once said, sucky, sucky, sucky.
Like I said early in the week, I am mentally fully prepared for the Patriots to lose. I'm not going to lose any sleep if they do. You know, I'm prepared for that because,
lose.
Like, they're not going to be that bad. And I don't think the Patriots can put the pressure on Sanchez that the Ravens did.
Is preparing to fail failing to prepare?
Could be.
Because you're prepared to fail.
John Rook is standing by. I hope you don't mind us cutting into your time here.
So how long are we going here anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, you love it.
Fred, you didn't even let me make my pick again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good. What's your pick, Kevin?
Shut his mic off.
24-20. Patriots.
Who? Patriots. Okay,
and
good.
I won last week, too.
That's right.
What do you mean you won last week?
Well, no, I picked the Pats.
He was
I
the only
too.
One to pick them.
Did you and pick the Pats?
I picked the Patriots to win.
I picked the Patriots.
28-24. Yeah, and I went
no, you didn't. You didn't pick the Pats last week.
I sure as hell. I didn't pick them against the spread, I don't think.
No, you did.
Did he?
Yeah.
I swore he picked Cincinnati last week.
No.
No.
He never picks against the Patriots.
Seriously?
Well, that's why I remember that, because
they picked
Cincinnati out of character.
Both ways. I picked the Patriots to win, Cincinnati to cover.
Okay.
I picked 28-24. It was 38-24.
You weren't here earlier. I won the week and against the spread. So.
Well, that's very impressive.
Quite some shirts we got in here today.
Very impressive.
All right, well, that's gonna do it for this edition of PFW
Andy's
Progress.
Andy's used to be bright about 15 years ago when he bought it.
Probably more than 15
from structure.
I'm going 93 on this one.
Big game coming up this weekend. I'll be there blogging, and these guys will be there fighting.
We probably won't have chairs.
Yeah, they never have seats for us when we go to
that's
the
only
old
the Giants.
That's only the Giants.
That's only the Giants.
It's a conspiracy.
The Jets take care of us.
All right.
In this new Jazz.
John's coming up with Patriots Playbook. What do you got, John? Anything good?
Bob Wischusen from the Jets Radio Network.
All right.
And
God bless you.
Russell Baxter.
All right. Well, stay tuned.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. No! No, God, no!
Patriots.com Radio.